Blog Talk Radio.
Did you brush your teeth? Good evening. Come in. You're welcome to Eerie House Oldie Tiny Radio Show, like 8,000 or something. I don't know. No, 235 and Eerie House 503, if I'm not mistaken. As we answer your wishes for fine radio programming, I'm Dale Kay from Scoop Show, here along with
Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One, and along with,
I have no idea who I am. Blam, blam to you all, it is I, Gar the Ghoul.
Hi, hi to Foxbane.
Hi,
and Jacques, who have joined us, and CW, who just rolled in.
Just popped in, yep.
Oh, Jack had to leave. All right, hopefully he'll be back. He's a strapping young man.
I think he was in here 20 minutes before we were on the air, and we come on and he leaves. What was that?
He just waits for the intro. I don't know. It could be a statement for all I know. Or it's a long distance to France. Who knows?
Woo-hoo!
Hello, folks.
Hello, folks.
Tonight's show is not just wishful thinking. No. We have three of the very finest radio programs in the history of the media method, I guess. Lights Out, Inner Sanctum, and Witch's Tale.
Yeah, three horror shows for a change. Yeah, that's a lot of fun this is going to be, and I was always wishing for a show like that, and here it is.
Woo-hoo! Yep. Your wishes have come true. And during our show prep, which is really us guys hanging out shooting the breeze. The fellas were talking about some interesting facts about the Witch's Tale. Are worth repeating here.
Well, yeah. I mean, for one thing, Gar dug up a date for Witch's Tale, which is a tough thing to do because it was syndicated, and so it was different on different times, different places. But he did. He found this and a repeat date. But this would have been the earlier one, the 32, as he mentioned before we went on. And the interesting thing is it's in two halves. This is from when it was a 15-minute show, and you'll notice that Nancy is a different age in each half of the show. So
what?
Woohoo!
She's magical like that.
She is. Well, she's a witch.
Yes.
Yes, sir. I was grabbing sources from Jerry Heindiggers. Heindiggers? Yeah, that's what it says. Vintage radio logs from Audio Classics O Archive, whatever that's it, from the index of the Old Time Radio Library and the OTR catalog. I was like digging all these information, and most when they merge and they agree, that's what you run with, because you know,
right.
Otherwise you don't know what to do.
There are a lot of different dates on many shows because, again, some of them were on at different times and different places and different parts of the country and such. And if they were syndicated, they could be on at a variety of times and dates. So there's a lot of dates that are usually floating around. But like Gard said, you got to go with the consensus of what's out there.
Yes. Well, I noticed one had a listing for The Witch's Tale that was U.S., and then another had AUS, which Australia?
Australia, right, because actually there are more Australian recordings of it than U.S. recordings because the guy that produced The Witch's Tale in the mid-1960s saw there was no market in all the recordings, and he had recordings of every show, every episode, and he got so mad that there was no market for them that he went and busted up his entire collection.
Yeah.
And so Dave, if I am wrong here, didn't I send you a book about it?
Don't you have a book of all these shows?
Yeah. I have a book. Yeah, the book is mostly a guy that loved the show so much he kind of transcribed the scripts. They didn't really talk a lot about the show, but there were it's interesting because it does have some actual scripting of the radio shows, the witches' tales.
Yeah. Does it have the dates though? Does it have the dates? Are they in there? I can't remember.
I'd have to look, but I'd have to look. Okay. I had over there. I'd over by my recliner chair. I've been sleeping in the last 3 weeks. Because of my back.
The Witch's Tale book makes for a great pillow. That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
No. It's just over there. All my books are facing that chair. So I think I retire someday, if I'm still alive, I'll get a chance to read all those.
So from the research, we've got Nancy portrayed by Adelaide FitzAlan, who was Nancy for 1 year, 1934, for 15 episodes. Then she grew wings and flew to Detroit, from what we understand. But also, did she take what?
You think she'd ride her broom?
She took some
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. It just said flew. She could have flapped her arms. I don't know.
She could have taken the broom. She was a witch, you know.
She could have. I don't know. She's got that cat with her. You know. Maybe she flew deluxe on U.S. Airways. I don't know. It's up in the air. But the wonderful bottle that we're going to listen to later tonight actually is an adaptation of The Bottle Imp by Robert Louis Stevenson. Don't you know? Loads of fun. Loads of fun looking this stuff up.
And we've got some fun, interesting couple things about Inner Sanctum as well as we get into Inner Sanctum.
Yes!
I'll give you one teaser on that. And again, I got some information from the old-time radio researchers. They also have a newsletter out that goes out. Ooh. And this is about basically how Hyman Brown broke into radio. It says, some innovators entered radio through the side door. Some climbed up a fire escape and snuck in a window. Some drifted in and out of the figurative rain, but not High Brown. High Brown walked right up to the front door, shoved the guard aside, and pushed his way in. As a teenager, he worked out a deal with cartoonist Milt Gross to bring Gross's hilarious Yiddish dialect characters to the air. While the feature didn't last long, it did catch the attention of another innovator with something to prove, Gertrude Berg. And Wow. Yeah, and he was on that show for a short time, her show, but there's only one boss on that show, and that was her. And wasn't long after that he was out pounding the pavement, but creating other things that came to radio, one of which would eventually be the CBS Radio Mystery Theater and Inner Sanctum, and so many shows, the Bulldog Drummond and the radio version of The Thin Man, and so many things.
All good stuff, and we probably should begin with the...
Gertrude Berg was the birth name of Judy Garland, right?
No. That was her maiden name. Yeah.
Ah, okay. There we go.
Later, she became Ernest Borgnine and grew a tail.
Ah, yeah, there we go. There you go. That's a... bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yes.
That was all of them. And even this. Okay, there you go. That's all.
I have to admit, I stole that from Gar. But since we started talking about Witch's Tale, that's a good place to start, since this one has an interesting origin to it, if you will. And as Gar alluded, the title is The Wonderful Bottle. And it's from...
I did that, didn't I? Originally, my understanding is from March 14th, 1932, to be repeated in February 18th, 1935, if you're taking notes.
We bring you The Witch's Tale, written and produced by Alonzo Dean Cole. And now let us join old Nancy and Satan, her wise black cat.
Hannah and 11 year old I be today. Yes, sir, Hannah and 11 year old. Will Satan. If folks will just douse out them lights now, we'll be getting down to business. We want it dark and cheerful for our pretty little yarn. Draw up to the fire and gaze into the embers. Gaze into them deep, and soon you'll see a dusty road way down in South America, in the wilds of the Argentine. On that road begins our tale of the wonderful bottle. The wonderful bottle.
There's another signpost, Matt. We're only 100 miles from Buenos Aires now.
You'll never be able to walk it, kid. Why, the soles is all worn from your shoes, and them feet of yours are bleeding.
I'll walk it. I've got to. The hike will be easier now. Think of the load that's off my mind. I don't have to worry any longer as to whether my shoes will hold out.
When two guys are as down and out as we are, they don't really have to worry about anything. God. And we left the States to seek our fortune in the Argentine. Fortune.
We certainly haven't found it, have we? But maybe we'll strike something in Buenos Aires that'll put us on our feet again.
Yeah, if you can stand on your feet when we get there. Kid, you simply got to bust into that $50 you have and buy a pair of shoes.
Oh, I can't do that, Matt. That 50 is every cent I've been able to scrape together in the last 3 months. It's got to go home to my folks. They need it terribly.
I suppose you don't need it.
Oh, I'm young. They're old. I really owe it to them. Matt, you don't know how they scraped and saved in order to help me work my way through college. And now they've been taking care of Eva since her parents died because, well, simply because they know she's going to marry me someday. It nearly drives me crazy to think $50 is all I have to send them.
And it drives me nuts to be tramping across country bumming meals when you have money pinned inside your shirt. If that dough has got to go to your folks, get an express order and send it to them, for the love of Mike.
Well, I can't until we get to Buenos Aires. That's where they think I'm doing so well in my own business. If I sent them a money order from anywhere else, Matt, they might suspect the truth.
Yeah, but your own way. I think you're a darn fool, but I kind of envy you at that. Must be nice having folks and a girl like that Eva you're so crazy about. I ain't got nothing. Never had.
I'm lucky, aren't I, Matt?
Yeah. God, I'm hungry.
So am I. It's been a long time since our last meal.
About 36 hours, that's all. Say, kid, take a look behind them trees.
Gee, what a beautiful house.
There ought to be some odd jobs we could do in a place like this to earn a dinner.
Oh, we'll soon find out. Here's the entrance gate, Matt. Come on.
I'm right behind you.
Señor, señor.
What's that?
An old Spanish woman back there on the road.
Señor, señor.
She's calling to us, Matt.
She's a servant on the place, I suppose, who wants to tell us no bums allowed inside the grounds.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Well, we've been kicked out of better places than this. Come on.
I'm coming.
Señores, voy a
ser pronto. All right, all right. Don't get excited. Can't you see we're coming out?
Matt, I don't think she's trying to bawl us out.
Oh, what is she doing then? You understand the Spanish lingo.
I'll ask her. ¿Qué dice usted, señora?
Gracias a Dios. Con este al momento de salvarle de una situación peligrosa.
Matt, she says she saved us from great danger.
Danger? What danger?
¿De qué se trata, señora?
Si son entrados por la puerta de esta casa, habían destituido almas inmortales.
Señora! She says if we'd gone to that house, we'd have lost our immortal souls.
Lost our souls?
Se construía esa casa por la diabla.
She says that house was built by the devil.
By the...
Oh, you're joking, señora. I mean... ¿Usted hace broma?
No, no. El viejo que vive a la esoriada del diablo. Si habían ido a ese puerto, le vendería una vasera que le mandaría a Isabel.
She says the man who lives there is a servant of hell. If we'd gone to that door, he'd have tried to sell us something that would damn us forever.
Well, if that ain't the craziest yarn I ever heard.
She must be a little mad to tell us a story such as that.
If she ain't, giving us a bum's rush, let's go back and try for a meal.
She's not a servant in that house. I'll thank her for advice first. Accepte usted la expresión de ma profunda gratitude, señora. Tenga que irme ahora.
Oh, no.
Adios.
Oh, no. Ustedes son americanos. Todos como crino. Si van a esa casa, se contraen maquillosa.
She says if we go to that door, we'll regret it.
Bunk, come on.
I'm coming. Adios, señora.
Señor.
Oh, go fly a kite.
Oh, don't talk to her like that, Matt. People down here are very superstitious. She probably believes the crazy yarn she told him.
Well, if the devil built that house, I'll say he's a good architect. It's the swellest joint I've seen in South America.
Must be great to have a place like that to live in. Instead of being like us.
Wonder if we'll ever sleep inside a house again.
Matt, someone's opening the door.
An old guy's coming out. To tell us to beat it, I suppose.
Oh, I suppose so.
I bid you welcome to my house, senor.
Huh? Is he talking to us?
May I invite you gentlemen to have dinner at my table?
Dinner?
Us?
Of course, senor.
Jeff!
Matt!
We're dreaming!
At last our luck has changed.
I overheard your remark, senor. In meeting me, you soon will find that your luck indeed has changed.
Oh, gee, senor, you've been wonderful to
us. Oh, no, senor.
Oh, boy, we're nothing but a pair of ragged tramps. Yet you've served us a wonderful dinner, shown us about this beautiful house, treated us as though we were gentlemen.
It has been great happiness to have you here. No one ever comes to visit me, and I am very lonely.
No one ever comes to visit you?
No one. And as you perhaps have noticed, I have not even servants.
I've been wondering who does the work in this big place of yours.
I am about to speak of that. I saw you talking to one of my countrywomen on the road outside. She may have told you tales of me. Did she tell you tales of me, senor?
Your woman told us a lot of superstitious bunk, if that's what you're driving at.
You Americanos are not superstitious, as are the people of my country. You do not believe in the devil whom she told you was my master.
My pal and I haven't much faith in anything right now.
You have been very unfortunate in South America.
I'll say we have.
Yet you, my young friend, say you have in your possession $50.
Well, you asked if we were absolutely penniless, senor, and as you'd been so generous, I thought it only fair to explain my exact situation.
Your principles do you honor. What would you say if in exchange for that $50, I offer you a house as beautiful as this? If I offer you wealth, power, women, anything your heart desires?
I don't understand you.
Yes, sir, you're not trying to kid us into believing what that old lady said was true.
No, I am not trying to jest with you, senor. Excuse me, I want to show you something I keep in this closet. This, my young friend, is what you may buy with your $50.
That? For $50?
Why, that's just a glass bottle.
But not an ordinary glass bottle. Here, take it in your hand.
Certainly, if you wish me to.
What? Holy! Hey, how'd you make it to that?
Matt! Well, the thing leaped right out of my fingers.
And returned to mine because I am its owner.
Let me see you do that trick again.
It was not a trick. But I would show you something more worthy of the powers of this bottle. Is there something you wish for very much, senor? Something you consider impossible to attain?
What are you driving at with all this?
You soon shall see. You, my young friend, tell me what you wish most.
I...
Come, no matter how impossible, tell me what you wish.
I wish to hear the voice of someone at home. The voice of Eva.
Listen, I wish you to hear the voice of Eva.
Matt!
God, is that...
Yes! It's Eva's voice. I've heard her singing that song 1,000 times. But it can't be Eva. She's in California, thousands of miles away.
Shall I wish her to stand within this room that you may see her?
No. I want you to have nothing more to do with her. Stop that voice I hear. Stop it.
Very well. I wish you to hear the voice no longer.
How did you do that? Who? What are you?
I am merely the owner of this bottle. And whoever is its master can have each wish come true. I will sell you this wonderful bottle for only $50.
What are you trying to put over? We ain't kids who believe in fairy tales.
Some fairy tales are truths, senor. Truths that have been forgotten in the centuries of time. Thousands of years ago, this bottle came from hell. An emperor owned it who conquered the world. He sold it to another who became the wealthiest of men. He sold it to another who...
You mean to say if that bottle granted wishes, anyone will dispose of it?
Its owner must dispose of it before death. This bottle will cure sickness, but it will not prolong life. And whoever dies possessing it must burn in hell forever. I am old. You see why I must sell it before it is too late. You must buy from me, senor. You must. My neighbors fear me. They want strangers from my door, as you have seen. I'm afraid to go away and seek a buyer, for I might meet accident upon the road and die while I still own it. You may be my final chance, senor. Give me your $50 for this mastery of life. You are young. You too can sell when you grow old. Senor, I beg.
This is some new kind of confidence game, Jack.
No, no, I swear.
Since you were so anxious to get rid of this wonderful bottle, senor, why must you sell it? And for just the sum you know I have.
It cannot be given away, and it can neither be destroyed or lost. That is its law. It must be sold, and for less than its purchaser paid. So its price has dropped through the ages. You see the danger were I to sell too cheap. Someday a buyer cannot sell. Please buy. I swear it will give all I say.
Oh, we've heard enough of this bunk. Let's get out of here, Jack.
Oh, no, no, wait. You do not believe. You think I would cheat you with a trick? Look, give me your $50. Take the bottle. Say, I buy. Then wish your money back into your hand. If you do not find it there, I say no more.
Oh, really? I don't
want... Go on, Jeff. See what happens since he puts it that way. I'll see you get your 50 back.
Well, if it's only to see...
Good. Give me your money. Say, I buy.
Here. I buy.
Ha ha! The bottle is yours!
Doesn't jump away now.
Wish for your money back, kid, as he said.
Yes, I wish for... The money's in my hand.
Thought is quicker than words.
The thing's on the level.
But, Lord, I believe it is.
And you bought it. You own it.
And I am free at last to die in peace. Now you will have each wish fulfilled. Now you will bear each curse that follows.
Curse?
Wait and see. You own the wonderful bottle now. You own the wonderful bottle.
Satan, if these folks wants to hear the rest of our little yarn, they got to come see us next time I has a birthday.
Orchestra. Woohoo! Yeah, good music for 19, what, 32?
32, yeah.
What is that? A violin and a cello, I think.
And a piano.
That's it. And a piano?
Piano. Yeah, I heard a piano too.
It's called, it's called Pirani back then.
And I hear a harmonica. Also. And a jaw harp.
Huh?
Do I hear a jaw harp?
Mouth. It's called a mouth organ.
It's also called a mouth organ. But that just sounds wrong. All right. We heard the wonderful Nancy from part one of The Wonderful Bottle.
You know, I bought one of those. Bang, bang, bang. It's called a juice harp. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
You can't use it if you have dentures. I found out the hard way. It hurts.
Oh, ow.
And it pops your dentures out.
Oh.
It's like, well, heck.
Comical bang, to watch. Bang, painful, painful to endure.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, that would be fun on Horrible Horror. And I put it in. And I tried it. I was like, yeah, that's not going to work.
Well, you got to laugh out of it as your dentures pop out. Yeah.
Yeah, that. I'll stick to my attempts at ukulele and my burst on the harmonica, I guess.
But, I thought you'd do anything for a laugh. Aw.
Well, I would. Sure, I would. Wouldn't you? Ah, sure you would. Okay.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've done some pretty dumb things in my youth.
Yeah.
In your youth?
My youth.
In your youth?
In your youth?
Now,
my youth.
Now, here's a goof jumping back to, oh, gosh, could we actually get back on track? The Witch's Tale, The Wonderful Bottle, reminded me of the stories of the monkey's paw or the mummy's hand.
Yes.
That must be sold and not given away.
It reminds me of that quite a great deal.
Mm-hmm. Hey, curiously, was it last week? I don't remember when. Recently, I showed I had a Hans Conry celebration on Horrible Horror, and one of the things that was in there was a monkeys. Hey, were the monkeys? Remember them? They had,
an episode
with Hans Conry in it, and there was a monkey's paw in there, and it caused all kinds of craziness, of course.
As it should.
Sidebar. But The Witch's Tale. This is just beautiful. Love it.
Well then let's go ahead and let Nancy finish up. Years later,
Adelaide Fitzalan. Sure, let her rip.
With part two of The Wonderful Bottle here on Erie House. Hey, there's the piano.
We bring you The Witch's Tale. Written and produced by Alonzo Dean Cole. And now let us join old Nancy and Satan, her wise black cat.
Hannah and 5 year old I be today. Yes, sir, Hannah and 5 year old. And now, if you just douse out them lights, Satan and me will spin you the finish of that yarn we started last time. We told you how a couple of young American fellas down in Argentina met an old Spaniard who sold one of them a magic bottle that grants its owners every wish. That bottle was made by the devil. And anyone who owns it must get rid of it before he dies, or he'll burn in hell's fire forever. The bottle can't be destroyed or lost, but it can be sold for less than the seller paid for it. Now draw up to the fire and gaze into the embers. Gaze into them deep and hear some more about the wonderful bottle. The wonderful bottle.
Can't get over it, Jeff. As impossible as it seems, that darn bottle does everything that old spaniel said it would. Boy, here we sit in the best hotel in Buenos Aires, with swell clothes up on our backs and pockets full of money, and all you've done is wish.
Yes, but I'll be glad to get on that boat tomorrow that's going to take us back to Frisco. See, I'm just crazy to see my folks in Eva.
You can see them here and now, if you wish.
Yes, I know, but I don't want the bottle to have anything to do with them directly, Matt. If there is a curse goes with it, I want it to be just mine.
Oh, forget about that curse business the old guy spoke of.
Nothing but good has happened yet, has it? When you wished yourself into all you can think of, you just sell that bottle to me.
You're going to get it pretty soon. There isn't much more I want now. I have the house I wished for.
That was a darndest thing, you finding that old letter from your folks when you got here saying how they struck oil on their farm and had bought just the very house you'd wished for.
Yes. Everything I wished in a home they described as parts of the one they'd bought.
No, that ain't really your home, though. It's your parents'.
Well, whatever belongs to one belongs to all with my family.
Yeah, but you wished for a place for just you and the Ziva kid.
Yes, I did. Matt, I'm going to sell you this bottle now if you want it. I'm afraid of it somehow.
What's the matter, kid?
Oh, I don't know, only I just want to get rid of it.
All right. Well, I got $40 change. Is that all right?
Yes. Take it. Say, I buy.
I buy. Stays in my hands now. Oh, boy, what I'm going to...
Well, there's someone at the door.
I'll see who it is.
One cablegram.
Cablegram for you, Jeff.
Oh, thanks.
What does it say? More good news from your family?
It's from Eva. It says... Father and mother killed last night. I wished a house for Eva and me.
God, there is a curse goes with this bottle. Jeff, it's a sight for sore eyes seeing you again. Why, it's been over a year since you left me in Buenos Aires.
Yes. Come inside the house, Matt.
Thanks. This is a swell place you got here. Where's the little woman? I'm dying to meet her.
Eva and I aren't married yet.
Not married yet?
No, that's the reason I cabled you to come here.
I don't get you.
Matt, have you still got the bottle?
No.
It's gone?
Yeah. Wished myself $1 million and a private yacht. Then sold it to a Portuguese for $30. I was scared to keep it.
You know where it is now. Do you know where I can find the man you sold it to? That's why I sent for you, Matt. I've got to find that bottle.
What for?
I'll show you.
Why are you tearing off your shirt?
So you can see why I haven't married. Why I won't even go near the girl I love. Why, you can see why I don't leave this house. So you can see another curse of that bottle. Look. Look at my back. Yes. The spot of a leper. A leper. Help me find the bottle, Matt. It's my only hope. My only cure. Place we're going, Matt.
I hope so, kid. Don't lose your nerve.
We've searched so long. 3 years. And everywhere we find it sold again with misery left behind.
Yeah. All the other folks who try to get things easy just like us have found it don't work out.
There's no shortcut to happiness.
Mm. Hang on to me, kid. I ain't so used to going without eyes yet.
Curse had to hit you, too. But if the bottle's where we're going, Matt, it will bring back your sight as well as cure my... Don't hold my hand so tight. Even through these gloves, my scourge may reach.
Oh, forget it. I ain't afraid.
Oh, gee, you've been great to me. Keeping me with you on your boat. Away from people who'd send me to some island all alone.
Ain't no reason to send you away. You're more afraid of hurting folks than they are of being hurt. And here in China, there's thousands worse than you.
Yes, I can walk the streets here. My kind are common. Oh, here we are, Matt. This is where the woman lived. The Dutchman said he sold the bottle to.
Lead me to the door, kid.
Here. Now, I'll stand back. She only has it. If she'll only sell it to us.
She'll sell, just as we did. Just as we'll want to sell again.
Now, make sure she has it. Get it from her quick. She's an English woman, the Dutchman said. You can talk to her, Matt. You buy it, I'll buy it from you. Make her sell it to you. Make her.
Quiet, Jeff. Someone's coming.
What do you want?
Does a Mrs. Duncan live here?
I am Mrs. Duncan.
I've come about a bottle.
You will buy it from me? You will buy it? The cursed bottle?
Yes.
Thank God. I'll bring it to you. Wait.
You see, kid, no one wants it long.
I can go home to Eva soon. To Eva.
You know its law?
Yes. What is its price?
You'll buy even when I tell you?
Yes.
I pay 6 cents. Now the price is 5.
5 cents.
Don't hesitate, Matt. 5. The price to me will be 4.
Oh, think, Jeff. Soon it can be sold no more.
I don't care. If I burn in hell forever, I've got to have that bottle. 5.
Here. I buy.
Oh, I'm free again. Thank God.
was awfully good of you to come back.
Gosh, Eva, when you or the kids send for me, I'm always Johnny on the spot.
Jeff will always be a kid to you.
I shouldn't wonder. Kind of hard to realize he's getting along same as me. Lord, you and him's been married 10 years now.
Yes, it's 10 years since you brought him back from China. Yours. I want to talk to you about that tonight. That's why I asked you to come while he's away. To ask your help. Matt, Jeff is dying.
What are you talking about? He's as well as I am.
No, he's dying of fear.
Eva, that kid ain't afraid of anything.
He's afraid of death. Of death, which would separate him and me forever.
What are you talking about?
I've learned about the bottle.
The bottle?
Yes. Jeff told me about it when he came home from South America. When he sailed with you around the world, I knew it was the bottle for which he sought. And, of course, I knew you found it. You are no longer blind. But it was not till yesterday I learned he still possessed it, that he cannot get rid of it.
He told you?
No, I found it where he thinks it's safely hidden.
Oh, but Eva, how could you know it was the bottle?
There can only be one that leaks from every hand except its owner's. Someone must buy that thing from Jeff. What did he pay for it?
You know its law?
Yes.
He paid 4 cents to me.
Then he must sell for three.
And the next buyer pays for two.
And after that, one can buy but cannot sell.
Yes.
Matt, I want you to buy and sell to me.
No.
You must. To save Jeff's life, his reason.
You think he'd accept a sacrifice from you?
But he mustn't know.
I won't do it.
Oh, Matt, please. You're all I have to go to. Listen to me. It won't be a sacrifice. I'll sell the bottle.
You can't.
Wait. The opportunities aren't as few as you think. Here, a cent is the lowest coin. But in other countries, there are smaller. I'll find another buyer, Matt. I have one now. Yes, Matt, honestly, I have a buyer now.
Ain't just saying
that.
Oh,
no, I swear. I'll swear by anything you say. Only get that bottle from Jeff. Oh, Matt, I love him. You've got to save him. Say you'll get it, Summer. Please.
All right. I don't know much about women. I hope you ain't lying to me.
Jeff, darling, you mustn't blame Matt. I made him do it by lies, deceit.
Oh, I don't blame Matt, dear. I should have known when I let him take the bottle from my hands. But he said he needed it, and only its owner can profit by its powers. He swore he had a buyer who would save him from its curse. I might have suspected his buyer could be no one but you.
I never thought you'd find it out.
You forget that whenever the bottle grants a favor, it exacts a punishment as well. This time its curse was knowledge. Knowledge that you had become its possessor. Perhaps the last, who will pay its final price. Oh, Eva, did you think it would be easier for me to know in life and after death that you suffered torment in my place? Did you think our separation would be easier than if it were I who paid alone?
But there may be no hell of torment. If there is a power of evil, no just God would let it punish so.
The power of evil was the creator of that bottle, which can neither be destroyed nor lost. And there is justice in punishment. For always the bottle has been bought for selfish ends, by someone who wished to find an easy way. That's how it came to me, how I employed it. Even you were selfish in buying it for love. I am selfish now again as I thrust this penny in your hand and say I buy.
Yes, take it
no,
back.
No, no. The bottle is mine again and you are free.
I did not consent. It can't be bought that way.
But it can. It stays within my hand.
That's because you are my husband. We are one. You can have no possession I do not share. No punishment that is not mine as well. See, I too can hold the flower.
No.
I am its owner as well as you.
Eva.
What do we care? Earth, heaven, or hell, we'll be together. One. Forever.
Yes, I love you. What is it,
man?
Who's there?
You have a bottle. I have come to buy.
A buyer, Jeff. I'll let him in.
It comes too late. I am the last purchaser. I paid a single cent.
I have brought smaller currency than that. Give me the bottle. I buy.
What have you given me?
A grain of sand.
Who are you? I can't see you well.
Nor I. You seem only a voice in a cloud of mist.
Who are you?
One stronger than evil and selfishness. One with the strength of love.
He's gone.
The last purchase.
And that's why you don't see no more wishing bottles round these days. Too bad. They was handy in a pinch, long as you weren't the last to buy.
Was The Witch's Tale. And I'll bet
105.
Yep. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Just because you discover a key, it doesn't mean that you are a locksmith.
That's just so melodious, isn't it?
What I said or what that guy sang?
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing fine. How you doing, Brother Gar?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to give me some more coffee.
Blibly.
No, you are banned.
I'm grinding my teeth. I'm having fun.
All right.
Grinding my teeth. Sharpening or?
You said don't you have to take them out to do that?
I could. Yeah, I could take them out, you know, get a file. Why waste the effort, you know?
Gosh. Dental hygiene.
That's right. We're just having fun, right? So that was great. Okay, so at the end, someone stronger than the bottle took the bottle for a grain of sand. I like the twist at the end.
Well, I guess a grain of sand would be less than a penny, so.
In some countries.
Well, okay, now. In a land that has no sand, that would have been invaluable.
In the Glass Kingdom, that there it would be worth a lot.
Yes,
exactly. Yes. So again, it depends on how you value things. How do you value things over there, Dale?
Me? By how much they amuse me. I value you guys highly.
Come, boy. Go to bed.
Yeah, it's a wonderful bottle. Wonderful. I did not think there was any way that story could have a good ending for the you know, the main characters. I just thought this is over. They're doomed. But no.
Okay. This sparks an interesting sidebar, which is this. There was a group of people, I think they both passed away, mystics or whatever they were that went to the Amityville house to determine how haunted it was, you know, and they came back with all kinds of crazy information. Okay. I don't remember the name. It was a husband and wife couple. They were in on it. They set up a museum and or their son. That said, we will take haunted items from you because they are haunted, and we will remove them from you, and we will, you know, hide them and keep them or whatever. And To me, that's just some people bunking other people out of their stuff.
Well, yeah. Hey, everybody's got a right to make a living. Yeah.
Right, right.
You say it like a, you know. You say it like it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's a horrible thing.
Along that line, you know, I always felt like half the population of this country wakes up every morning to try to figure out how to rip off the other half. It isn't that bad, but that's what it seems like. You know, all these scams that go on and people trying to take advantage of other people, and especially our seniors, you know, who might not know better on different things. Scams that they go towards that. It's infuriating. Infuriating.
Yes. As my memory gets less and less, I might eventually become part of that crowd. You know. Yeah, I'll buy that. Blah, blah, sure. Why not? You know.
Yep. But we always have radio to escape to.
And we do.
Two terrific tales remaining. And if we have time, maybe we'll squeak in some bonus entertainment as well.
Wow.
A whole lot of radio.
Such a deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hope it's worth every penny you spent on us.
Uh-huh.
Oh, actually,
well, I wouldn't take much. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
Fonzbane spent a great deal of time on us.
He does.
Effort and stuff like that. We are so grateful for those cool radios.
Yes. I actually pulled it out last week, I think.
Yeah, you showed it on air, and I kept telling you to push the button, You said, what, to sign off? I said, no.
I know. I was like, what button? In Horrible Horror, I constantly have problems pushing buttons. And it's just like, and they push the button.
And I'm like, don't have that problem around here.
Oh, you don't? I'm like, what button? And then finally, I was like, oh, wait, there's a button on this thing.
Should I push it?
You know, what's going to happen, you know? The lights go. It would have been funny if things were really set up so the whole set went dark as soon as I pushed the button. You know, we're in the dark. Fogsbane, what did you do to me? That would have been hilarious. The blue one would have played better. Yeah. I knew nothing. Yeah.
Oh, God, no. No, why, CW? Why did you do that? You know he's on coffee.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
You know he's on coffee. He's gone mad.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Did you guys try to put them on the back? Did you guys?
Not yet. I noticed that they fit.
I didn't put anything on my back.
The big radio. I have not, but I noticed that they will fit.
I didn't even notice that. Thank you, Fogs. That's cool.
Yeah, they fit on our big radios.
I see that now.
Wait, what big radios? What are we talking about? I'm lost.
The original ones he sent us. Yeah.
The original ones he sent us.
Okay, those, yes.
Yeah.
They were a replacement. Oh,
yeah, see?
Bloop, 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 bloop.
No, it's like G.I. Joe. You got accessories here, you know?
There you go. Yeah. I'm going to have like a Fogsbane segment on Horrible Horror. It's like Gar tripping down the weird world of electronics from Fogsbane. The white ones are glow in the dark.
They are.
Yes, they are.
We determined that on the thing, too.
Oh, they're fun to play with.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to glow in the dark a little bit, but whatever. I was always involved anyway, so...
I actually had not opened the box before the program, so I had no idea what was in it. It was a surprise, and I got it, and I was like, "Oh, cool! I don't know what this is."
Yeah, you're
Dave's sitting there. Press the button, and I'm like, "What button?" I was like, "Well, I don't even know what this." It's a silhouette of a radio. Yeah,
your producer was a little nervous too when you started opening it up.
Sure.
Well, wait a minute, what is it?
Yeah.
Really. The latest issue something.
That's right. We don't want the FCC jumping all over Gar. All right. Two radio shows left, and we need to get to one. I say. What do you think?
Lights out.
Lights out it is. Great minds think alike.
Lights out.
This one's called The Protective Mr. Drogon.
Yeah.
From
January
26.
Hold on, hold on.
1943.
Okay. Wait, I think Dave's got some factoids for us.
I was just saying an interesting, definitely an interesting story. This is the Lights Out had three runnings. The first was Willis Cooper handed off to Arch Obler. Arch Obler left it in 38. He came back in what, 42 car? 42 and 43.
Uh-huh.
Because he needed the money. And then later on, NBC or CBS brought it back one more time, but Arch wouldn't have anything to do with it, so it was just brought back with a different guy who would be the host. And Arch Obler, I don't even think they used any Arch Obler stories in it. So. But this was from the second rendition of Lights Out.
Yep.
As iteration goes. Yes.
And it's from?
January 26, 1943, according to eight people and Arch Obler.
Mr. Drogon. Lights out, everybody. Stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. If you don't mind, I'm not going to tell you anything about the story we're going to do in a few minutes. Neither the title, nor anything about the characters, nor even the usual remark about any similarity of this story to real events and actual people occurring so on and so forth. No, we're just going to tell you a strange story.
Hello, police department. My name is Charles Krager, Dr. Charles Krager. I live at 872 West Street, apartment 2B. I want you to come and get me. I've just killed a man, Jay Drogon. Did you hear me? I said, come and get me. I just killed a man. His name was...
I'm willing to bet on it. So if my name is Jay Drogon, I'm going to drink it.
Jay, forget it, will you? You better lie down and get some water.
Let me run. Take your hands off me. I said I was going to drink this mess, and I'm going to drink it. Right out of the cocktail sticker.
He's really drinking it.
Holy cat, look at him.
Oh, boy. Oh, that was terrific.
How did it taste?
Wonderful.
Jay!
He's dead.
No, I'm all right. Hot in here. Window open.
The windows. Who broke all the windows?
What time? 9. I've got to get up. Get to work. Oh. Huh? All dressed. Bed in my clothes. Put me to bed. Oh, doesn't matter. Oh, all right. All right.
Hello, Jay Drogon speaking.
Who?
Oh, yeah. Hello, friend.
Sure, I'm coming down to the office. Party? All right, a man
Got to have some fun once in a while, can't he? I got to wash up. All right, I'll be down there. Goodbye. Son of a... Where's my hat? Well, what? Windows broken? Some party. Tell superintendent get windows fixed. Wonder what... Oh, well. Better get to the office. Good thing the building has an elevator. Couldn't walk downstairs.
Good morning there, Mr. Drogan.
Oh, hello, Mr. Jensen.
Now,
what the devil's the matter with this elevator? I've been punching this button for 5 minutes.
Well, it takes time for it to come down when it's up on the top floor.
With the time. It's always going wrong, that elevator. I wish that blasted thing would fall through the basement.
Hey, it's falling. It fell. Just like you said.
Oh, then, Drogan, sit down.
Sit down.
Thank you, Doctor. It was good of you to see me without an appointment.
Well, you seem to be in quite a state. What is it?
It's my head.
You injured it?
No, I don't think so. You see, I had a little party at my house last night. Oh, my head.
Never mind. Well, this certainly is the morning after the night before. Go over to the window and let me look at you.
Yes, Doctor. It's my head, Doctor. Every sound...
It's just the morning after.
But every sound... That blasted airplane up there, it's so loud in my head, Doctor.
No, don't get excited.
Why does that infernal pilot have to fly so low? Blast you up there, why don't you crack up? Look. He's falling. Falling.
What you said, Drogan, really happened.
Step back now. Keep away.
All right, Drogan, we better be moving on.
Yeah.
You come back to my office, and I'll give you a sedative, and you lie down and rest a little while, and then you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Coincidences. That's nothing at all. That's all it was. Nothing more.
Oh, watch out, man. Watch out where you're walking. It's okay, sir. Now we can cross. Hey, you! How do you like that guy? Blasted cabs, they think they own the street. If I had my way, I'd smash them all up. Doc! Doc!
It's happened again. Drink this.
No.
I tell you, drink this.
I don't want to.
It isn't what you want to do. It's a sedative. Now, drink it.
Putting me to sleep for a little while is no help.
Last night. Think about last night. Perhaps you, drank something out of the ordinary.
Huh?
Well, why do you look at me like that?
I did.
What?
That drink. I just remembered.
Tell me.
But that couldn't be it.
Tell me.
Well... We got a kidding about who could mix the most unusual drinks, and I was feeling high, and I mixed one.
Well, what was in the drink?
I don't know.
Well, you must know. If I knew what was in the drink, perhaps some chemical... Wait a minute. Where do you think you're going?
To the office.
Well, what?
Fred, my business. I've got the...
No. Are you completely out of your head? You're a menace, a walking danger. Don't you realize that you can't go out of here until we figure this out, some way to stop it? If you don't, every time you say a negative thought, it'll happen and someone will die. Do you want that? What's the matter with you? Why should you laugh? Stop it.
Well, it's funny. I go to see my doctor because I'm going out of my head and he goes out of his head.
But what happened to you that all of a sudden
you said that I was a menace. When you said that, all at once, everything cleared up.
What?
Yeah. Me a menace. That's the funniest thing anybody ever said about me. Look at me. No hair, half my teeth aren't my own. I've got a pot belly, and I'm a menace. Yeah, you, a doctor who's supposed to judge things only by facts, suddenly decide I'm a menace. Why? Because 3 screwy things happened that I had nothing to do with. That I had nothing to do with. Coincidences. Like getting 4 aces 2 times running, or... rolling 7 25 times in a row, or anything else where 2 and 2 doesn't add up to 4. That elevator would have fallen anyway, and in that plane. So his motor cut out just when I said it. And the cabs, we were both so scared we ran off without finding out whether or not there was a good reason why three cabs smashed up. Sure, cabs have accidents all the time. So, well, does that make me a menace? I ask you, is that the way for a doctor to talk?
I'm sorry. Of course you're right. I've been talking like an emotional moron. Funny, isn't it? I'm the man who has always evaluated situations through factual evidence. And even then, I've retained some measure of skepticism because I know how, well, how misleading human observation can be. Trogan, would you mind shaking hands with a blasted fool?
Sure, Doc. And you're shaking hands with one, too. Now, if you don't mind, can I use your telephone?
Sure. Of course, of course.
Got to call my office, explain why I'm late. Oh, had me scared for a while. Hello. Hello, that you, Fred? Yes, I'm on my way in. But I tell you, I'll be there in a few minutes. But I'm telling you. I know, but I'm coming. Oh, stop yelling at me. Why don't you drop dead? Fred. Hey, Fred.
What's the matter?
Why, I don't know. 1 minute I was talking to him, and then... Fred, answer me. No, it can't be. You're lying. Hello?
Drogon, what is it? Tell me.
Someone said Fred just dropped dead.
Freddy's dead. That's what I said. Sorry, I'm not very soulful, am I?
Isn't this where Iron IG's commercial comes in?
One would think, but no.
But we didn't have
Dave. What kind of problems are you having that you need Iron IG's for?
Well,
the world wants to know.
I need a stronger pizza. That's why.
Yes. It makes it rise.
Hey, I have to hand it to you, Gar. You are correct once again. I did pull out the Witch's Tale book that you sent me.
Ah, okay.
And
cool.
And in the epilogue, there is a program log that goes on with dates. And these dates were from the original source, most of them with WOR New York area. So there you go. Once again, Gar the Ghoul.
Thank you. Blay, blay. What date did they come up with, curiously? I'm curious because I've got three or four different dates.
And they only had one date for this, even though it was on two different days, obviously. Come on. Oh, there it is. They had it for March 21st, 1932.
See, and that's odd because Jerry Hanglund, I don't know how to say his last name, Vintage Radio Logs, reflects that same date. However, it's not a consensus date.
Yeah, here's another interesting thing. That on that same date, at that same time, The Last Waltz was also airing of The Witch's Tale. So I don't know how the heck that happened. But anyway.
Right.
It's
so
magic.
We're kind of in the air.
It's magic.
Yeah.
Magic.
It's magic. Just like wishing for somebody to drop dead, and they do. And an elevator to drop down to the basement, and it does. And somebody opened the windows, and all your windows break out. Woo!
Well, this guy does have some issues. I mean, come on. How many of us have really wished that on somebody?
This is not the moral of the story, but this came to me as we were listening. This little blurb. Inflammatory language only works if people that hear it react to it. If they don't react to it, it doesn't matter. It's not inflammatory.
Yes.
No matter the intent of the speaker.
Oh, you mean like my jokes?
Yes. Yeah. Every one of your jokes.
There was another one. And there was another one.
And there you go. Yeah. Woohoo! So, I mean, and that's something that I seriously wish people would put into practice today, because most of what's called news is actually people reacting to something that... Oh, they even use the word trigger. I've been triggered. Oh, God. I've been triggered again. Oh, I've been triggered. You know, it's like,
yep.
Really?
Yeah,
calm down.
And I hear you people know, talking about safe spaces. Get your mind right, man. Your safe space is with you everywhere you go. Mine is.
your safe space ends at the top of your head, bottom of your feet, front of your body, back of your body. There you go. Safe space.
There
have
you
a good
go.
Day.
I
go.
Like that. I like that.
You know? You know, it, end of your fingers.
Yeah,
it stops right
it's
there.
It's a way of looking at things. So there you go. And
Yes.
That was part one of Protective Mr. Drogan.
Yeah.
For the lights out.
Yes.
Just to toss this out, I'm a lot more Zen and Taoist than I am anything else. And so a lot of this stuff is like I'm looking on the outside in, and it's very weird what we have going on. But back to radio.
Yes. At warp speed.
mm-hmm. Woo-hoo! I got coffee.
Yeah, okay. I know.
Anyway.
I know. And if I were this guy in the radio program, no, I'm kidding.
I got it. I ought to tell you. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No, this guy's got he's got a morbid sense of justice here. Let's see what happens as we wrap up our tale from the lights out.
What time is it, Doctor?
One.
I can't just sit here.
No, no. You're my responsibility. I've got to think something out.
I just can't keep on not thinking anything.
Great Godfrey.
What?
What's the matter with me? You can perform miracles. I'm convinced of that. All right. Then why in the name of common sense can't you perform positive miracles instead of negative ones?
I don't understand.
Listen to me. It's simple. It's so simple that neither one of us thought of it. Just as you can kill people and cause accidents, why can't you do good?
Good?
Yes. Good. Heal the sick. Give eyes to the blind. But when it comes to killing, kill the ones who should be killed.
Well, that's right. Maybe I could do that.
Hitler, Hirohito, Mussolini. Why, you could wipe out the whole Nazi army by just saying so.
Yeah, but how would we know?
No, wait a minute. It's all clear now. Every miracle that you performed today was a negative miracle. The falling elevator, the airplane, the taxis, your friend. Everything negative. You haven't performed a single positive miracle. Not a miracle for good instead of evil.
Well,
come with me.
Where?
Out into the street again. Come on, Drogan. We've got to find out if you can perform a good miracle just as easily as performing the other kind. And if you can, well, you'll start making history in a few minutes, Mr. Drogan. Now, Drogan, now.
What?
On the corner, the newsman. He's blind.
Well,
don't be stupid. We'll go over to him.
Saber? Saber, get your paper.
Hello, Tom.
That's you, Doctor?
Yes, give me a magazine. Well, anyone will do.
Yes, sir.
Wish it, Drogan. Wish that he could see.
I am.
Hey, Doctor. How have you been?
Oh, never mind about me. How about you?
Huh?
How about your eyes?
Are you kidding?
Drogan, out loud. You've got to say it out loud.
Hey, Doc, what's the matter?
Say it. I wish that he could see.
Hey, what's going on here?
Tom, you see. You do see.
What's the matter with you, Doc?
You can see.
Let me alone, will you? What are you trying to do? What are you after?
Can you see?
Oh, I can't see. Get the devil away from here. I can't see.
All right, Drogan. Come on.
Yeah. What does it mean?
Whatever you want to do that's good doesn't happen. But whatever you say that's evil happens. God help you, Drogan. Well, have a good sleep, friend Drogan.
Yeah. Why did I fall asleep?
A sedative I gave you.
Oh.
Drogan, I want you to meet my wife.
How do you do?
Well, it's a pleasure, Mrs. Crager.
Yeah. Let me give you a hand.
No. I'm all right.
Yeah, of course. Rogan, I've told the entire story to my wife. She's clear-headed about this. I'll let her tell you what she thinks. Go ahead, Anne.
Mr. Drogan, Charles thinks you're a menace to humanity. I don't think so. I think the danger to others is not through you, but through somebody else. You don't know what I mean. Well, that's understandable. I mean, you wouldn't willfully hurt anyone. But what if someone forced you to? What if your ability to perform miracles...
Evil miracles?
Yes, evil miracles, was discovered by some criminal. He would force you to do what he wanted, at no risk to himself, because since the criminal was performing an evil act, you couldn't hurt him.
In other words, Drogan, someone could use you for criminal purposes. Yes, blackmail the world because you thought he could kill anyone in the world.
You haven't said anything, Mr. Drogan. You do understand?
Yes, I understand. What do you expect me to do about it?
We don't expect you to do anything. The responsibility is beyond you or us. Whatever happens is up to the proper authorities.
Authorities?
What we must do is to tell the authorities of what happened.
It's a wonderful idea.
What did you say?
It's a wonderful idea.
Charles, I told you he'd understand.
Drogan, I'm proud of you.
Thank God it happened to a man like you instead of another little fascist who'd imagine himself a super Hitler.
A wonderful idea.
Yes, of course, but why do you keep on saying that?
You gave me a wonderful idea.
Thank you, but that's not important now. We've got to go to the authorities, all of us.
No.
Why should you say no?
I'm not going anywhere. Neither are you.
What?
Charles, why should he say...
Wait. What's the matter?
Nothing. I'm not going any place, or you.
What do you mean?
Sit down.
What the devil for?
Sit down.
No, I don't see what...
Doctor, I let you talk. Now let me. Well, in my own way, I figured out the world a long time ago. And that's why I was satisfied. Now, you see, it's like this. Some people are born with more than other people. One man has more brains, so he's an Einstein. Another fellow's born with good looks, so he's a movie star like that Taylor fellow. Another has muscles that work better, so he's a Joe Louis. Another one's got more energy, so he's an Edison. Most people are born with just enough brains and muscles to get along in a plain, ordinary life like me. I knew that. So I was satisfied. Then this happened to me. All at once, all I've got to do is say something, and then it happens. Not good things, we found that out, but whatever I say that's wrong happens. I can do what anybody else in the world would like to do, but can't do. No army or navy or air force. I can say that somebody should die or that something should burn or break or fall, and it happens. You know, at first it was the same for me as for you, Doctor. I couldn't believe it was really so. Then while I was lying here, I heard you and your wife talking, and I began to figure things out. And then you both gave me the real idea. Dempsey and Joe Louis and Tunney and those fellas who had better muscles made themselves millions. So did Edison and Ford and Chrysler and the rest of them who had brains. Now, I had something. Why shouldn't I get paid off, too?
Paid off?
That's right.
How?
You said it before.
What?
I think you call it blackmail.
Carl.
The way you both look at me, you'd think I'd said something you hadn't said before yourself. Anybody that's any good to the world, I can kill. All right. If people get paid off in this world for not letting other people starve, so I'll get paid off for not making people die.
That's a pretty bad joke.
Joke? No.
Of course you're joking.
No.
You don't mean that.
Sit down, Doctor. Doctor, I said for you to sit down.
Don't you order me around. Now stop this nonsense and...
Oh. I brought you some tea, Mrs. Crager.
Thank you, Frederick. Just put the tray
down. Wait a minute. Take that tray out of here. Go ahead, take it out. But I take orders only from Mrs. Crager. Is that so? Well, why don't you die? A He's dead, isn't he, Doctor?
Yes.
So you see, it isn't nonsense.
You devil, you!
Well, up to now, it's always been plain Sam.
I never thought that you...
That's just it. You should never underestimate a little man. Now, should you?
Charles, do you hear me? Call the police.
He hears you, but he won't do anything about it, will you,
Charles,
Doctor?
Don't just sit there. This man is a murderer. He killed
Doctor,
Frederick.
Your wife
you
is talking a little too much,
you
isn't she?
Sit there, won't you please?
Doctor, do you hear me?
Doctor.
I suggest you tell your wife
you
to shut her mouth.
Charles,
or maybe you'd like
me
to say something
this?
To her. The words
you
I said about
me?
The
I'm
servant.
You. Call the police.
Suppose I said, Mrs. Crager, I wish
you...
No!
Stop! Will you please do something about this?
And stop it. Stop! You hear me? Stop it. It'll be all right, dear. It'll be all right.
Of course it will. As long as we're sensible about this. Now then, what is my plan? Well, very simply this. You and your wife are going to help me get everything in the world that I want. Yes, everything. What I tell you to do, you will do. Letters. I will decide on 3 influential gentlemen in our government, 3 wealthy gentlemen in industry to whom you will send letters explaining about me. Now, they won't believe... But at the time I tell them to, they'll die, and the newspapers will know about it. And after that, everyone will believe me, now, won't they? And so as not to die, everyone will do exactly as I want, won't they? Because they won't have any choice in the matter. They send soldiers against me. I'll wish that they'll be dead, and they will be dead. And soon from Washington to London to Moscow, everyone will be doing exactly what Sam Drogon wants them to do. And that'll be wonderful. All the good people of the world doing exactly what one little man wants them to do. Well, you haven't said anything, Doctor. You understand what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes. It was inevitable.
Of course, I won't want you and your wife to leave here. Now then, we'd better have this man's body removed, and then we'd better get to work. Or have you any suggestions?
Do you mind if I have a drink?
Drink? Not at all. Not at all. A drink started all this, didn't it? Go right ahead, Doctor.
Thank you.
And you, Mrs. Crager, you're quite all right now, aren't you? Yes, I'm sure you are, the way you sit there looking at me. You and your husband will do exactly as I say because you're both good people and I'm deaf to good people. And you know that now, don't you?
Yes, I'm sure my wife knows that. Your drink.
Oh, yes. Oh, and quite a full one. Thank you, Doctor. I drink to your continued good health. Well, a strong one and a good one. Thank you, Doctor. What? Drink? Oh, my throat, you... What? No. Wouldn't dare.
Charles, what did you... Charles, he's going to...
Wait.
I wish you...
Charles!
Both were...
Charles. You killed...
Yes. Poison worked more slowly than should have. But it worked. Drogon, you made one mistake. You should never underestimate what good people can do. If they have to.
Here we go. That was an interesting ending to the detective, Mr. Drogon. It's almost like there's an overriding theme of be careful what you wish for. You might get it.
Yeah.
And if that's not moral enough for you. Yep. If that's not moral enough for you. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
An explosive temper has nothing to do with gunpowder.
And me without a sound.
Yep.
There you go. That's all I had.
That was show starts in 1 minute.
This is
us. That's all you got?
I can't wait.
There you go.
You got into work. You got into the dark Colombian coffee, didn't you? That extra strong stuff, yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know. It's the bottom of the pitcher, so maybe it's stronger.
Maybe we can have a coffee intervention show. That might be. Oh, yes, sand tales from back in the railroad. Back in 1969, we were running out to Santa Fe, driving those spikes into the railroad. Thank you, God. Thank you for mining.
Those were good old days.
Yeah, a very short mining tale. Because someone must have wished for it.
Must have.
Fogbane said, do you own your own bean gar? That would be a trip. Gar's coffee. that would be interesting. The gar-o bean.
You'd have to put the tag on there. Gar's coffee. A caution. It might not be you, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do not operate while driving or...
Right, yeah.
Or hosting radio.
Don't do anything important for a half hour.
That's right.
I always like medication that said that. Don't do anything important for like a half hour. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
I was talking to Dale privately many years ago, probably 2 days ago. I don't know. And I told him how I order coffee. I order six of these big, huge cans at once. And he was like, what the heck, man?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't want to run out.
Hence the need for an intervention.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
You're starting to buy too much coffee.
He's starting to buy his coffee by the kilo.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Don't have a problem.
CW mentioned there's a 12-step program for coffee, but unfortunately, those 12 steps are straight to the bathroom. So.
Yeah. Well, my 12 steps... for coffee are the Arthur Murray dance studio lines on the floor. That's my 12 step.
I don't know. When I think of you drinking coffee, I'm reminded of the guy from Mad TV, the coffee guy. Oh my, Stan the Coffee.
Oh my
man.
Gosh. Oh my gosh. That
was he not funny?
Someone, and it might have been you guys, I don't know, but someone put me onto that and I was like, whoa.
I think it was me.
Oh. Yeah,
your penchant
and I was
for
just
coffee,
like, oh my...
I'm like, oh, you got to see this.
Yeah.
You have got to see this.
Yeah.
Look up Stan the Coffee Man gang up on YouTube.
Yes.
Up on them
oh,
YouTube.
My gosh. So much fun. I was just, wow. Yeah. I was like, dude, I'm not that bad.
Kind of close.
Well, I'm excitable, but I've been excitable ever since I met you.
Which makes me
question
your
you.
Need for coffee.
Yes. Yeah. Well. Yeah. You know why? Why rev up that which is revved up already?
Exactly.
I'm so revved up. I've got 4 pages of notes for you guys this week about this week's show. That's crazy.
Well, that we love. That we love. You both have been bringing mega facts to Erie House today, and that is great to go with our radio programming, which includes an upcoming episode of Inner Sanctum. This one's called
Oh My Gosh.
Night Is My Shroud.
Yeah, as we get into that, I just again another note from the old-time radio researchers. High Brown lived for radio. He came of age just as the medium was becoming a vital part of American scene, and he spent his entire adult life believing that radio was the definitive method of storytelling. Even after nearly all of his contemporaries had moved on, assimilated by television or movies or the stage, Highbrow continued to believe in radio. He brought it back to life at a time when just about everyone thought he was out of his mind to try. And he owed it all to that squeaking door.
As we owe our squeaking door to Fogg's Bane, as we introduce Erie House Radio each and every broadcast, so too did the squeaking door make Inner Sanctum. It made CBS Radio Mystery Theater, and we pay homage or homage to it each and every night. And let's pay homage to one of my favorite radio hosts. Yep.
Talk about Raymond. Well, I thought I'd do that in the mid break here as we,
and we shall.
Need to get rolling in this episode.
We do. So here is part one of Night Is My Shroud, and it's from
October 24th, 1949.
Good evening, friends. This is your host to welcome you through the creaking door into the inner sanctum. Friends, just as you do, we're dressing up our little hovel for the coming winter season. Of course, the color scheme will still be completely black with blood-red splotches here and there to relieve the grimness. And I'm putting in a new hearth made out of an old tombstone. It has a little inscription that reads, "Here lies Lizzie Liddell, a proud and self-made widow, who bright and early one fine day sliced her husband's head away. She'd caught the culprit with a wench and won acquittal from the bench."
Tonight's Inner Sanctum mystery, Night Is My Shroud, was written by Milton Lewis and stars Kenneth Lynch in the role of Danny with Ann Shepherd as Baby.
All right, friends. Sit back and collapse. I mean, relax. Our story's about to begin. I just try to remember that none of the things you hear in our stories can happen to you more than once. Ready now. Then turn the lights down low as we hear Danny Manton tell us a strange story.
I expected any second I was going to hear a knock on the door. I knew if I opened it, Chigger would come in and kill Baby and kill me. And Chigger wouldn't kill fast. He'd take his time. You know how Chigger is. So we stayed in that crummy hotel for 5 days, afraid to go out because maybe somebody would see us and tell Chigger. Yeah, 5 days. No sleep. Too scared to eat. Nothing except the rotten coffee they sent up. Just me and Baby.
I can't take it anymore, Danny.
What's the matter?
What do you think's the matter? I'm getting out of here.
Sit down.
I don't care what happens no more. Even if Chigger kills me, I'm beginning to hear things in my head. I'm seeing things that ain't there.
Shut up.
No. It ain't right for a wife to walk out, I know, but I... Oh, Danny.
You're soft. I always knew you were soft mush. But you ain't walking out on me.
How long do you think we can stay here?
I'm staying until I get a call that the coast is clear.
That's what you've been telling me, but you don't get that call. Maybe you'll never get it.
Stop crying.
I can't stop.
Shut up. I think I hear somebody outside our door.
Chigger.
Shh. You hear that?
Yeah.
Somebody walking up and down.
Danny.
Skip it.
It's your own footsteps you hear.
Huh?
Don't you see what's happening? You're jumping out of your skin when you hear your own shoes make a noise.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Danny, look. Look. Let's get out of here. You said when we welched that 500 from Chigger here that we'd go away and we'd work out some dance routines. Let's grab a train, Danny. We'll take our chances with Chigger. We'll go to South America, Mexico, any place. We'll work up a few numbers. Vaudeville's coming back all over again. They're even booking acts in the palace again. We'll make dough, Danny. We'll pay back Chigger and be in the clear. What do you say?
There's something queer about them footsteps.
A footstep? Danny, didn't you hear what I said?
That's all.
Are you crazy? What are you banging on the wall for?
You hear that?
Yeah. Somebody knocked back. Where'd it come from?
The next room, I think.
Why did it...
Shh. Let me try something else. Let me try a dance step.
You think they'll hear?
Quiet.
Danny!
That can't be Chigger. He could never do that.
Maybe it's a killer Chigger sent.
Why should he tell me he's next door? I'm going to do a step that nobody else in the business can do except me. Let's see what happens. Do that if you can.
What does it mean, Danny?
Someone's calling me. Someone wants to see me. Someone in the next room.
Who?
I ain't sure. But a magician in Denver once told me that when you hear something like this happen, you should... I'm going in there.
No, Danny, don't.
Let go of me.
Danny!
There was no one in the hall. I tried the door of the room on the right of mine. It was open. I went in. At first, I didn't see anything. It was black. Only the dim light coming up from the street. My eyes got used to it. Then I saw him. Standing in front of the window, he looked like me. Only he looked like I always thought I'd look when I'd be dead. That's the way the magician in Denver said it would be. A guy to spit an image of you. I was scared stiff. I yelled, what do you want?
What do you want?
I know who you
are. Who you are?
You ain't alive.
You ain't alive.
If I gotta live, just give me a break.
Give me a break.
Come here.
Here.
I'll grab you.
Grab you.
I reached for him, but he stepped backwards right through the window and disappeared. I looked down to the street. Nothing there but some broken glass. I knew I wouldn't see anything. From what that magician in Denver told me, it could only mean two things. Either my number was up, or my luck had changed.
Danny.
Okay, baby, pack your clothes. We're getting out of here.
But Danny.
What's the matter? What are you looking at me like that for? I ain't scared of Chigger now.
No, Danny.
What? Chigger. Chigger, where is he?
He's in the closet. That's what I tried to tell you. He came in while you was in that other room.
Shut up and don't move, Danny. You look just like a statue. Except for the sweat dripping over your eyes. That's how I like to see you, Danny. Still. Very still.
Chigger. That gun.
Ain't you gonna say hello to me, Danny?
Hello, Chigger.
Chigger, you can't do it. You ain't gonna do it. Not to Danny.
No, baby. Get away from him.
No.
Do what he says.
No, but Danny.
Please.
No.
Knock her down. Get her away. Go on.
Baby.
No, Danny. I want to stay with you.
That's better.
How'd you find out I was here?
The manager. He's a friend of mine. He told me 5 days ago. Where's the 5 C's you took from me?
Oh. Here.
Thank you.
Now you got the money, why not call everything square, huh? After all, you got back your dough.
It ain't the money, Danny. You work for me. You know about me. And I know about you. I know I can't trust you. Never again.
I'll never tell what I know.
Nah, you won't tell.
What are you gonna do?
Have some fun. Hey, tell me you was a dancer once. Dance for me, Danny.
No, I... Now, listen, don't stall it, Chigger. Let me have it right away. Dan, go ahead. Sure. There you have. He's pretty good, baby. You love him?
Yeah.
That's fine. So for your sake, I'll do you a favor. I'll polish him off fast right now while he's dancing. That one missed. But these won't.
Danny, he missed. He can't hit you.
It's empty. That one should have got you. They won't get me, Chigger. Something's happened to me. You can't kill me.
Oh, I done it with my hands before. Oh.
Chigger.
Oh, that pain.
Chigger.
My chest.
He just grabbed his chest. Keeled over.
He's dead.
No. He may be
dead. He's dead. Go ahead and say he's dead.
Yeah. He's dead. But how?
How? How do you think, baby?
I don't know. He was alive a minute ago, and then... Danny, the room next door, what happened in that room? You were talking crazy when you came out.
Maybe it wasn't so crazy as you thought.
What'd you see in there? What happened?
You wouldn't understand it. But I want to know one thing. Did you tell Chigger I was here?
What are you saying?
You heard me?
No, how could I tell him? He was with me all the time. Danny, let go of me.
You could have called him up.
Danny, what's the matter with you?
He wanted to let you live while he was going to kill me. You could have made a deal with him.
How can you say that? Danny, you're out of your head. You don't trust anybody.
No, I don't trust dames anymore. Did you call him? That's what I want to know.
No, I didn't.
I'll find out if you're lying. You better be telling the truth. You saw what happened to Chigger. The same thing can happen to you. You can die just like that if I want you to. You know that's true now, don't you?
Yeah. It's true. I've seen it.
I'm going out. I want you to meet me later at our apartment.
Where are you going, Danny?
Where do you think? There's an old score I've got to settle, baby. I think you know who it is.
Danny, no. No, you mustn't.
Baby's face was scared like a kid's when I walked out. She's seen what I could do. You don't believe it, mister? I didn't believe it myself until I saw it happen. Chigger died because at that minute I wished he was dead. That magician in Denver told me it could happen like that, and it did. Baby knew where I was going. She knew who I wanted to see. I told her because I wanted to find out just how much I could trust Baby. I had life and death in my hands, anybody's life or death. I could kill just by thinking about it. Yes, mister, I've still got that power. I can kill you right this second if I want to.
Just whatever happens, don't pull his fingers.
I wouldn't
don't
wish
pull his fingers.
That on anyone.
Yes. Because he is deadly.
Hey, I did promise to talk a little bit about the two different hosts tonight. Of course, there's Dale, the very first, and Raymond Edward Johnson. He spent 4 years as your host, four gore-splattered years, mold encrusted years of increasingly outlandish tales. Finally, military service took him, and after a brief trifling with lesser replacements, Brown hit the jackpot with another Broadway character actor, the mellow-voiced Paul McGrath, who would give your host his definitive personality. Now, Dale always said he really likes the Raymond Edward Johnson. I kind of went with Paul McGrath. Here's why. Where Johnson always gave you the impression that he might just climb out of the speaker and slit your throat if you didn't laugh at his jokes. McGrath's host didn't care if you laughed at his jokes or not, delivering his lines in a rich, fruity baritone that sounded for all the world like Digger Odell gone fully to the dark side. McGrath's host was having too much fun to care what anyone thought. He created his own world of grisly mirth, and if you didn't care to join him, well, you were just like Mary the Lipton Tea Lady, just another boring old party pooper. So there you
yes.
go. So you're right. Raymond was a lot more serious on it. Paul McGrath took the fun side. And
as we were talking about before the show, that's why I think I was drawn to the one that I like, because of that that dark sense of humor, that but yet lighthearted enough where it's like, yeah, you can take me serious or not, I don't care.
Dave, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Did Mary the Tea Lady for Lipton Tea, I think, or it could have been some Louisiana.
Yes.
I don't remember.
Lipton Tea, yes. Yes,
Lipton
Tea.
Did she work with both Raymond and Paul?
I believe she did, but she wasn't with Raymond too long before he got drafted, and definitely spent most of her time with Paul.
And then Paul had a foil that he could always bounce off of in some weird way.
And it was never quite the same whenever they went to Bromo-Seltzer with the Bromo-Seltzer train. Bromo-Seltzer. Yeah. It just wasn't quite the same as having Mary to bounce off of.
I always wanted Mary to talk about Bromo-Seltzer. Hey, Maddie, what do you think about Bromo-Seltzer? Oh, my belly. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yep.
In our story, Night is My Shroud, Inner Sanctum, we're introduced to a figure called the Doppelganger, German for double walker or double goer. And in a little bit of research about this, my first nod was a doppelganger, someone not related to you in blood or any other way, and they look just like you. So, you know, it's like, oh, wow, look, but in the understanding of radio and what we're going through, it's actually an apparition, a ghost of a person that's alive. So it's a ghost that looks just like a living person. So it's really crazy.
Ah!
The presence of a negative double or duplicate ghost of a living person. So kind of gruesome there, folks. Blah, blah.
That's what makes it yummy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The gruesome
that was my homework. That was what I came up with.
And for that, we thank you.
And I had a one-liner that if words can kill, step one is avoid dictionaries.
There you go.
That's not the moral, but that was just something that came up.
That's a mini moral. That's a teaser moral.
I wanted to give you guys a little quote from a new TV program called Nevers, and it goes like this. A thing that threatens the natural order is by definition monstrous, even if it's pretty.
That sounds pretty monstrous.
Okay.
Here we go. Isn't
that crazy?
Part two of My Shroud. Inner
It was the queerest thing walking through the streets that night. I seen men, women pass me by. They didn't know it, but just like that, I could have killed them. They didn't know how close they were to dying. They didn't know that the guy they passed on the street had more power than any man on earth. But I was going to use my power on someone who deserved it. On Queenie.
Oh, hello, baby. It's Queenie. Are you alone?
Yeah, come in.
Lock the door.
Why?
Lock it, please. I don't want him to come here. If he finds us together, he'll kill me. He'll kill us both.
Oh, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about Danny. He's coming here to murder you.
Oh, now listen.
Lock the door.
All right. Look, baby, when you called up, you said you had something important to see me about. Now, if you've gone out of your head, I just want to remind you I'm not running any lunatic asylum.
Don't you worry. I'm not crazy. Maybe I'm a little wacky for trying to help you. But I just couldn't see even you get killed without having a chance to save yourself.
Are you really afraid Danny's going to kill me?
I know he is.
That's a laugh.
You wouldn't think it's so funny if you seen how he murdered Chigger.
Danny?
Yeah? And he did it without a gun, without a knife, without his hands. He did it with just his mind.
What are you trying to tell me?
I'm telling you to get out of here as fast as you can, to get away where Danny will never find you.
What kind of a gag is this?
Queenie, I'm risking my life by coming here and telling you this. Something queer, something supernatural happened with Danny tonight, and he's got this power.
Listen, you better go see a head doctor.
Try to explain to her, baby. She won't believe you.
Danny.
It isn't old Mr. Big himself. How'd you get in here, Danny?
Over the roof and onto your terrace.
Did you hear?
Yeah, I heard everything you told her, baby.
Danny.
Seems that I can't trust you with a secret, can I?
I didn't want her to die. The way Chigger did.
You're a sweet kid, baby, but you're an awful dope.
Don't get sore, Danny.
But I am sore. I told you what would happen to any dame that would double-cross me.
Don't kill me. You must...
He can't kill you.
Oh, Queenie. Would you like to see how it's done?
Yes, I'd like to see how it's done. I'll call your bluff.
Sure. Watch.
Danny.
No use pleading, baby. I know what you are now.
Danny, honest, you don't understand. I just warned her because I love you. I didn't want you to get into trouble.
You tipped off Chigger because you didn't want me to get in trouble, too. You told him where to find me because you loved me.
I didn't tell him where you were, honest. Danny, I...
Good a liar as you were, Queenie. But maybe I'm wise to her because I didn't love her as much as I loved you. I
thought you were going to kill her. I'm still waiting.
You won't have to wait long.
Oh, Danny. Stay back.
No
Danny.
Use, baby.
Look out, still, baby. You're backing out to the tower.
Danny, don't come any closer. I won't tell anyone ever.
It's too late.
Baby, come back
Danny.
Here.
Danny, let me live.
You've always been soft. Mush.
Come back. I can't. I'm sorry.
Still think I'm bluffing, Queenie?
She fell off of the terrace. Quite an act. How'd you do it?
Would you like to find out?
Gonna pull the same act on me?
That's what I came here for.
Then why are you waiting?
Maybe because it's the first time I've seen you in years.
How do you think I look?
Beautiful. You're still the most beautiful woman I ever knew.
Maybe you ought to think of that before you...
Before I murder you?
I've always loved you, Danny.
Are you kidding?
Give me a chance to prove it.
A chance?
You gave Baby a chance. You didn't do anything to her. You were sure she double-crossed you. Why don't you give me the same chance? Maybe if you found out how much I love you, you wouldn't want to kill me. You might want to take me in your arms again. Give me a chance.
Why not? You got your car downstairs?
Yeah.
Then let's get out of here.
Why?
When they find Baby, they'll be coming up to ask questions.
Why don't you say something, Danny? You haven't said a word since we left.
I've been thinking things over.
What thing?
All the things that happened between you and me.
Why'd you stop?
Because this is a good place to stop. Nice, quiet street. No houses. On a block like this, you could scream and scream, and no one would hear you.
Danny.
Giving you your chance, Queenie?
I know what you mean. You're wondering why I left you, why I broke up the act.
Yes, Queenie. You never did tell me why.
Well, I know you thought that agent was in love with me, but I left you in Denver and went to New York because he really did have this job for me. I made a hit in that show. That's how I got my start. I did it for you.
For me?
You know what was happening to Vaudeville. You know what was happening to our act. Broadway was the only place we could make a living. You couldn't go on starving. Just as soon as I got the job, I tried to send for you.
Did you?
Sure, but I could never find you. I tried, but you disappeared.
You didn't try hard enough. All our friends knew where I was. And I tried to get in touch with you. You wouldn't even answer my letters.
You're the only one I love, Danny. I don't care if you kill me. I'm just happy to be close to you. Just to be near you again. Oh, I'll put my arms around you. Be able to kiss you again. I love you, Danny.
Too late, Queenie.
too late.
Yes. You're going to die.
When'll it happen?
Any second.
Can you stop it?
No.
Well, I'm waiting. Why don't it happen? I don't feel anything, no pain, nothing.
It will happen.
Will it?
Yes. Just a minute. I want you to die, and you will die.
Well, seems I'm very much alive.
I don't know. What happened?
I do. You're out of your head. That's what's the matter with you. You never did have much of a brain anyway. With no actors, you ended up as one of Chigger's boys. You couldn't even dance any good.
Queenie.
I only hooked up with you because I was starving, and I never did love you, not for 2 cents. I couldn't stand the sight of you. There's a cab coming down the street. Now I'm getting out of here. If you ever bother me again, I'll have you sent to the movie hatch.
She stepped out of the car and walked into the gutter. At that minute, I thought maybe she was right. Maybe I was imagining things. Maybe I didn't have this power. I saw her lift her hand to hail the cab, but then... the cab kept going. I got out, looked at her just to make sure. She was dead, all right. My power didn't fail. So then I checked in at this hotel and sent for you.
Why'd you pick on me, Danny?
Because you're a reporter.
What's that got to do with it?
Sometimes I think this never happened. Sometimes I think I dreamed up the whole thing. I want you to check up on it for me. I couldn't ask the police to do it.
I get it. Now, who's this guy you heard in the next room, the one who gave you this so-called power?
The magician in Denver said this is what they call a doppelganger. It's a kind of devil that has evil powers.
Well, couldn't you have just seen yourself reflected in that window?
No. What I'm telling you is true. Here's the names and addresses so you can check it. If it wasn't true, do you think I'd be here like this? Don't you see what's happening to me? I'm so scared I can hardly breathe. Don't you see that any second I might do something everybody does in their life? I might wish I was dead, and that... what I'm telling you is absolutely true.
Okay, Danny. Maybe it is. You don't have to bang on the table. Did you hear that? Yeah. Listen. What? Did he reply?
He's in the next room. He wants me. I've got to go.
No, wait a moment, Danny.
Goodbye. I waited there for a moment after Danny left. I heard nothing. And then... I ran to the room next door. Danny was dead. There wasn't a mark on him. I checked Danny's story from beginning to end. Baby was in the morgue, listed as jumped or fell from Queenie's penthouse. Queenie was found by the cops in the street where Danny left her. We found Chigger in the hotel room, dead. The immediate cause of his death was marked unknown. The same with Danny. Maybe he was half-cracked. Maybe his talking about it suggested it to my mind, but I'll never forget the sound of that rapping coming from that empty room.
Of course, Danny wasn't really mad. Such things happen to anyone who's a little off the beam. And who isn't? By the way, if you ever try to strike up a conversation with a lovely ghost, don't get sore if she gives you an empty stare. She can't help giving you the ghoul shoulder.
Which brings us to the moral of tonight's story. Never drop dead when your friends tell you to. That's how friendships break up.
Over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, and has been rebroadcast for servicemen and women overseas. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
Gaining a twin will double your luck, both good and bad. There you go.
No, that's not how it goes. It goes like this. Any packs of dogs following us like we had a pocket full of hot dogs. All right. All right. Tomorrow night, first.
Oh, there we go.
There's
oh.
Us. All of us. And, we're doing the radio thing again.
I had no more tears to shed. I just washed my hair with Johnson & Johnson shampoo. Not only am I now COVID-free, but I have no more tears.
There you go.
No more
tears.
That's
the most important. That's the most important thing. Still wishing tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern, as Dave and I bring you CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The Imp in the Bottle.
Meow.
Yes, he meows every once in a while, that imp.
Meow.
The only imp in the bottle I ever remember in the movies, was, what was it, Jack the Giant Killer, that Harryhausen wannabe. Kerwin Matthews, who was also in Seventh Voyage. It was almost like, let's do Seventh Voyage and steal everything, but not really steal it. And there was an Irish imp in the butthole. Yep.
Dave?
Oh, and after us tomorrow, what happens at 8 o'clock, Gar? Quickly.
In a minute after 8 o'clock, it turns to 8:01.
Yeah.
No.
Hopefully, you got that to look forward to.
There you go. And then there's a possibility that Horrible Horror starring Garth the Ghoul will appear on TwitchTV.com. Find your local station searching. I can't think. Over on Facebook, Horrible Horror starring Garth the Ghoul. Okay, next.
Yep.
Dave.
Yes.
Okay, so the CBS Radio Mystery Theater tomorrow is the Imp in the Bottle.
Yes. Gar, no offense, we'll discuss that in the little party afterwards. Listen in the archives if you want to pick it up. We'll see you tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern, right here on Treehouse Radio.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Bloop, bloop, bloop,
bloop, bloop.
Okay. There we go.
So, okay, Dave.
Yes,
so
sir.
So tomorrow on the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, there's supposed to be a story called The Imp in the Bottle. Is it by any chance a reinterpretation of the witch's tale we heard, the wonderful bottle, which was an adaptation from the bottle Imp? By Robert Louis Stevenson.
Actually, it is, and I didn't really realize that until I put this all together here. They were, and I didn't realize that the original story was from Robert Louis Stevenson. But the Imp in the Bottle, the Radio Mystery Theater version, has always been, I'd like to say, one of my favorites, but they're all one of my favorites, just about, it seems. But it is always, it's one of those ones that we had on cassette, so it's one of those ones you got to hear over and over and over again, because we only had so many cassettes. And we only could stay up that late just so often. It was already past our bedtime. And we just had to get it where we could and when we could.
Kind of like you know what? One thing I've learned from you guys in the really literally years that we've been doing this together now is how... I'm sure it's not the only passion that's like this, but it... What it is today is owed to by many, many years of collectors gathering sharing information, radio shows that maybe somebody only had a reel-to-reel copy of that they had made or something like that, along with all the other finds. And a lot of it was in place even before the Internet, based on my conversations with Dave and his journey.
You could go out and purchase. You could purchase them on cassette, on reel-to-reel, on LP. But, you know, truly, the Radio Mystery Theater, the entire collection that's out there is because somebody took the time to record it, like my brother and I did. And because those are the recordings that are out there. They're recorded live off the air. Now, one of the reasons for that is recording was so much easier. There were home disc cutters that you could record on. There were wire recorders you could record on back in the day. But they weren't that many, and they weren't that plentiful, and they were expensive to run.
Yeah.
I guess we've even got my dad's house. At one point, my brother had acquired a disc cutter where you could you could make a disc onto a 78 record if you had the means to do it. The blanks.
I can imagine some people even sitting at home recording the radio shows on their reel-to-reel. Because I used to do the same thing with cassette as a kid, with radio, with television.
I think a lot of people
set
with Mystery Theater, they had several options. They could record it on reel-to-reel because that was a hot recording thing at the time. They could also record it on cassette, which was what my brother and I usually did. But they also, I had a friend who had a paper out, so he could afford a ton of these. He recorded it onto 8-track.
Oh,
wow. Oh, my gosh.
That way he could record it, and he could go to bed and then play it back the next day. And he had a ton of these things. And literally, quite literally, that is why the Radio Mystery Theaters exist today for everyone to enjoy. It wasn't because of the Hyman Brown or his family released them. It's simply because people were enjoying them so much that they recorded them. And the thing about the Mystery Theater, it was on for, almost 9 years. And for almost, 1,400 episodes. And during that time, because it was basically, there were some other, a few programs here and there, but basically, if you add up all the listeners that he got for the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, it probably equaled, beat out anything that was on during the golden age of radio, simply because there were so many more people that had the availability to listen to it. And then when you add the people that have listened to it on the internet and shared it like we do and things like that, it certainly would beat out any program that was on that was from the golden age of radio.
So I guess, again, just to reiterate, we owe what is available today to scores and scores of collectors and radio enthusiasts. Thank you, all of you.
And people who just absolutely love the storytelling that radio brings you. Like the article said early on, Hyman Brown believed his entire life that radio was the best way to tell a story. And I can't say that he isn't right.
It is hard to say. Some would argue reading, not everyone can read. It's true, not everyone can hear, but it is a great gift, as you've pointed out to me, Dave, with some personal stories. It's a great gift that to be able to share these with people who aren't sighted.
Right, and that being, you know, to be honest with you, and I had one, he was, Chuck, he did pass away, but he said, for 1 hour a day, I give him his eyesight back because he sees it through the mystery or the radio programs. And that's an amazing thought. That's an amazing
it
thought.
It is, and I can, I'm, as I get older, I'm starting to relate to that very much so.
Yeah. But, you know, you said about reading, and the thing about reading is everybody reads. I didn't enjoy reading because I'm dyslexic, but even if you're not dyslexic, you read it a little differently than somebody else's, and you hear the voices and the people a little differently than the guy sitting next to you who might be reading the exact same thing. And book clubs read something,
yes,
and then they get there and discuss it. They all have different ideas about it. But
yeah,
when you present it as a radio play, you all get it the same way.
There's a funny little thing on the internet where they'll show a photograph of, oh, now I can't think of his name. He was on the electric company. The guy he speaks. Oh crap, he was in
Harpo
oh,
Marx.
Man, this guy. No, he was in he was what's that guy's name? He's a speaker like Earl Jones, but he's not. He's another speaker. He's a black man. He was in the Prison Break movie. Oh God, I can't think of it. But anyway, if you saw his picture,
yeah.
Yeah, if you saw his picture and then you see words after it, you read it in his voice. And he's a narrator. He's amazing for being a narrator. And I can't think of the guy's name. It escaped. I had it and it went away. I just wanted two more things. Like you were talking about, Dave, and this is, again, kind of like the guy that reads and you see the words, is when we listen to Inner Sanctum.
Oh, Freeman.
And they have
Morgan
a host
Freeman.
Or Raymond.
Morgan Freeman.
That ding, ding, ding. Okay.
Also known as God in some circles.
Could be.
Yeah,
yes, the voice of.
Yes.
No, him or George Burns, one of the two. I don't know. That when I hear the Inner Sanctum, when I hear the host, I feel and think of John Zacherle speaking. Because they were so similar, I thought.
I can see that type of humor.
And I know I'm a goof on radio and on the internet when I do the broadcast. When I was in college, I actually got certified to teach literacy, which is kind of cool. You have to get certified to do it. You have to go through a course. And I actually was teaching several people how to read because they had – people have goals. If you're an adult and you don't have literacy, you really are trapped. And so I was trying to bring people up to the speed of reading where they could read something that was important to them or fill out a document or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was reading and writing. I was both, a little bit of both reading and writing. Literacy as a whole, you know, it's a good thing.
We recommend.
I know I'm a goof, but I do. Huh? I do, yeah. I know I'm a goof, but, you know. Helping folks is also good.
Reading is good, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's okay. And so adult literacy, Zacherle. Dave. Was the CBS Radio Mystery Theater on 7 days a week?
Yes.
Okay, so I extrapolated it for 9 years, and it came to 3,276 episodes.
Well, yeah,
however, there were repeats in there. So
there were repeats,
yes.
Right? And
yeah,
some shows repeated only once. The Christmas one with that we played last year with Christmas Carol with E.G. Marshall, the only episode he actually starred in. That
my gosh,
that was it. That was done every year. So that had like, you know, 8-9 airing dates.
I forgot his name. Dave, what was that guy's name? Morgan something?
Morgan Freeman.
Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Freeman, yeah.
Already forgot it.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, as long as you remember your own name, you're in good shape.
I have a name tag, thank you. I do, yeah. just to make sure.
Every ghoul should have a name tag.
Yeah. I actually have a name tag from the Eastern Federal Theater Corporation. Back when I was a young ghoul of 16 or 17, I worked for the Eastern Federal Theater Corporation as an usher.
Did you ush? Did
that or not? I ushed. I did. Oh, there was, yeah, and there's an anecdote about that. About ushing. I did more ushing than what normal ushers do. There was a throwback to the 1940s and the 1950s where an usher would have a cage wrapped around his body, not a cage, a holder of drinks, and it went around a band around your neck and you held it. And you would go essentially hop Cokes, and I got to do that. In 1983, I hopped Cokes, which was a throwback to the 50s. I saw it, and I was like, hey, manager guy, can I do this? And he's like, nobody's done that in 50 years. And I was like, can I do it? And he was like, sure, go ahead, kid. Yeah. Not realizing how dangerous that was. Anybody could have pulled a knife on me or dragged me off to the side and killed me or what? You know, we want your soda money, kid. You know, I don't know.
Except, you know, you could say, hey, buddy, just have a Coke and a smile, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, have a Coke in his mouth. Yeah. You know, and he's like, yeah, have a gunshot.
Have a Coke in
you know,
his
and yeah. So, again, Dave, it definitely lends to I couldn't hold a job. So many jobs. So many jobs.
So many.
I know. That was great. That was the best ever, Dave. So glad you couldn't hold a job.
I didn't think Dale was ever going to get over that one. Yeah.
Oh, that one's almost something that makes you blow bubbles out of your nose. I mean, that's some funny stuff. Oh boy, couldn't hold a job. So, Gar, you're getting a whole job. No, I couldn't. I changed jobs every year. It was crazy. I think the longest I ever held a job was like 5 years. You know, I was never getting a gold watch. You know what I'm saying? I think you do. Oh, every 12 months. Oh, got to go. See you. On to the next. It's not easy to be a Renaissance gar, a ghoul.
No, it isn't.
It's not. So you have to. One of the tree to success on that is to quit your job every 12 months and find a new one that's different.
One thing I always used to say on Creepy Castle was quit your job, listen to us 24/7. You could actually do there that now. We have so many eerie house shows.
You need internet. And a device, so
yeah,
you might want to keep your job. You know, maybe working at 7-Eleven. I don't know.
You could do that, but we don't pay well. You know, that's
no.
The thing.
Yeah, no. I'm feeling you, man. we pay robots,
but you'll be amused. So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you like that, Dale? We pay in robots. That's how we pay. That's our currency. We pay in robots.
Boy, if that's the case, I'm in hock with you.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Oh, I love those things so much, Gar. You don't have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, see, and I already dumped
it's that invisible.
I
it's that
the
invisible
space
ability.
Music, damn it.
Yeah. It's that invisible ability to bring a joy that you cannot put a price tag on that is just amazing. And if you can do that to any person, do it.
You did it.
I think that's why we all have done shows to try and, you know, as crazy as things get and as crazy things are, I think what we try to do is just, you know, whether it's here or on our other shows that we do, we're just trying to bring a smile to somebody, you know?
What?
Yeah.
I'm head for the big bucks, baby.
Oh, well, okay. You might want to think about a career change then.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yes.
was sarcasm. It was sarcasm.
Now, here's a moral without a story to it. Never hoist your own petard. How's that?
Your own
what?
Never hoist your own petard.
I beg your pardon. That sounds painful.
Well, if you hoist your own petard, you're going to get hurt. But if you get someone else to do it, you should be okay.
Petard.
The phrase hoist your petard
literally means that a bomb maker is lifted off the ground by his own bomb, indicating some irony or poetic justice, I guess, but hoist by your own petard.
That must be a military saying that I'm not familiar with.
No, it's Shakespearean, actually, from Hamlet. Oh, my gosh, I can't be this literal. I'm sorry. I apologize. Let's back up.
Are you trying to teach me something here? What is it?
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Am I on the wrong show? Am I on the wrong show? What happened to Ernest Cornell?
Are we talking about Shakespeare? Are we talking about Hamlet? What? No. Well, sorry, that's where it came from. It's all Dale's fault.
It is. I'll take the blame.
Go ahead. This is your rodeo. I'm just a horse in it.
Well, Wilbur, let me tell you a story.
Frickin' Wilbur.
What are you doing over there, Wilbur?
Oh, gosh. Anyway. I'm hoisting my petard.
You shouldn't do that, Wilbur.
you could hurt yourself. You could get a hernia.
You could pull a groin muscle over there, Wilbur.
Mr. Ed was always stalling, man.
He was stalling?
He was always stalling?
Stalling, yeah.
Stalin, like the Russian
general guy? Stalling.
No.
Stalling, like, you know.
Stalling, oh, yes. Well,
he
was in a stall.
So, yeah, so he was always stalling, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
I didn't say it was good. It wasn't as good as Gar, you
can't keep employment.
No.
That's just priceless right there. So, Gar, you got fired from a lot of jobs.
That was made of me. And I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Please accept my humble apologies. I mean, we need to be family here, don't we?
And stop bringing up Shakespeare.
My secret weapon.
Yes, and Hamlet. We never liked that pig anyway.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, the guy couldn't even figure out if he was beamed or not, you know?
That's right. What the heck, man? You know.
I actually do feel a tear coming on.
I know, right?
I hope CW is listening in the archives. Oh my God, there's a whole minute left. No.
They want to throw Dr. Smith in space again. Oh, wait. No, do that.
Yeah. William, I'm sorry I threw you to the aliens. Oh, William.
The pain.
Oh, please. Dave and I are both experiencing back pain of late. Please.
Yeah. Oh, I get to throw my petard in the ring on that one. I have back pain as well.
You're a petard.
I blame
thrower.
Both of you.
Yes.
My petard. I threw my petard out when I was juggling bingo chips. I don't know.
It's almost like you're calling us a name.
What? Me?
No.
Yeah. You rotten petard.
I curse you and your mother's raspberries. I forget what he said. It was something
good.
Like yeah.
Oh, your mother was a hamster and your father. No, your father smelled vanilla and raspberries and your mother was a hamster. Something like that.
There you go. Exactly. There you go. I have an experience with that. Oh, my God. Okay, so I was dating someone in college.
The pain.
They were a transfer student from, it's an island. It's below China.
The pain.
Made in Thailand. I think she was from Thailand. Is Thailand the one?
Did she come with a tag or what?
No.
Thailand is a city in Samoa.
Samoa. So, but what's the name of the island? It's the island Thailand. I think the island is Thailand. No, wait. No, damn it. Okay, now I'm confused. Okay, below China, there's this island, and
Taiwan.
And China is constantly saying
Taiwan.
It belongs to them, and there's. It is
Taiwan.
Okay, so there was this transfer student girl from Thailand, and I was in college, and I dated her. And
from Thailand
she said,
or Taiwan?
Let's go to a
Thailand.
Taiwan. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're confusing me in the story here. Okay.
Yeah. I'm confused myself.
So
I tied one on, and then I grabbed this gal that was from Thailand, and
Taiwan.
We went to the movie. Yeah, Thailand. I don't know. Tie something. Tie me in a knot. I don't know.
Yeah, no, wait, that's not right.
So there was this gal, and we went to this movie, and it was Monty Python's the Holy Grail. No, the Holy Grail. Which one is the one where they the elderberry thing? That's in the Holy Grail.
That's the Holy Grail when they were storming the castle, the French castle.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So we went there, and we were
second time.
Yes, and because English was her second language, she was like, I don't understand any of this. Let's go to another film. And we had to walk out. And I was like, oh, no. We're not walking out on Monty Python. Oh. But we did. We went
that
and saw,
would be a
I
last
know.
Date. That would be a date killer. Yeah, we're not.
No, it wasn't
tomorrow.
A date killer. I mean, you know, just it confused her when I think it was a surf was in a mud hole. And the king came up to him, and he was like, stop oppressing me. You come to be oppressed. You're oppressing me. He's oppressing me. And she was like, I don't understand the political humor in any way. And so we left. And I was like, but this is the best political humor you're ever going to run across in your entire days. And she was like, I don't get it. It fell flat. And I was sitting there laughing. I was like, this is amazing. Because Monty Python.
There will be no second date, heathen. You must like
spam,
the money.
Spam, 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 spam. I don't get it. Okay.
At least she could have done this fake it for you, you know, that she liked it.
No. Oh, wow. No.
I understand.
There's no faking in my dates. No. What?
I understand they're good at that. Yeah.
Hey, no.
So we've heard.
Not in. Yes, yes. Never hoist your own petard.
Ouch.
Hello.
I can't.
See, it just took on a whole new meeting.
I can't. It weighs too much.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay, wow. Goodness, there.
Well, it's only because I'm old.
Throw it over your shoulder like a continental soldier. Is that what?
Oh my
wasn't that
goodness!
It?
I have not heard that.
Anyway,
ages. You're dating yourself.
I never hoist my own petard.
Well,
I don't date myself.
Himself, at least if he had dated himself, at least he would have got to watch the Monty Python movie.
And
that's
I wouldn't
right.
have to fake it. Anyway.
But if you did.
But if you have to fake it with yourself, you got to stop hoisting your petard. That's all I'm saying. But
I think you'd have to be a little schizophrenic to fake it with yourself.
I have no idea what you're saying. Yes, you do. No, you don't. Yes, you do. No, you don't. Okay.
Exactly.
Anyway,
now you know. Now you understand me.
Now, always. I'm there. Dave, Adelaide Fritz Allen, is that the little girl or is that the older woman?
That's the older woman, yeah.
It's the elderberry.
Okay, and she passed. Okay, the elderberry, yeah.
Yeah.
Elderberry Fritz Allen. Elderberry Fritz Allen. She knows Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Intimately.
Could be. I don't know.
Well, he's God.
Hey, there you go. He was in that Prison Break movie.
Shawshank Redemption.
There you go.
Rimshot Redemption.
We did a show from where that was filmed. Down at the old Ohio Reformatory.
Mansfield. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you find the cell that had the poster of Raquel Welch in 1,000 years mm-hmm. BC and look behind it to find a hole?
No, I didn't.
Oh. I thought that was part of the film, wasn't it? The hole was covered up by a big poster.
But the stupid warden threw a rock right through that poster. That broke my heart.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that warden has to go to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some kind of penance. Yeah.
Yep. Have you guys ever experienced or run across or seen any type of examples of doppelganger people where someone looks like someone else in life? They're not related to the person.
Yeah. I have this, I don't know, kind of a mind where I see similarities like in facial structure sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see similarities from one person to another, and I'll often wonder secretly to myself, I wonder if somewhere along the evolutionary chain they're related.
Well,
to their knowledge,
our
they
paper
are not.
Used to years ago. Our paper used to have a feature called "Separated at Birth?" question mark, and they would have most of the people were far off, but some people really looked like the people that they portrayed in.
I've seen that where photos from the 1800s resemble people that are alive today, and you know.
Mm-hmm. I guess it just proves there's only so many faces to hand out, you know.
Maybe. And it's funny, I can make other people see it. One time I was DJing, and this girl walked in, and not only did her hair and her facial features match, but she had the perfect glasses, and I just... Right in the middle of a song, I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, Jets Nightclub, welcome Sally, Jesse, Raphael. And everybody wants to start roaring. They knew exactly who I meant, you know, by their appearance.
Did they have a spotlight in the club?
No, I would have been even better, but I don't like putting people on the spot that much. Yeah, I do. I would have used the spotlight.
You would.
Sally, Jesse, Raphael was the J.C. Penney of afternoon TV hosts.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could have seen her on the judge.
Bargain type. Yep.
Yeah. You bet no.
Well, she disappeared, though. She was quite popular there for a while, but she disappeared.
Yeah.
She was one of the forerunners, and I think as more people jumped in, she jumped out.
Could be.
Because she really wasn't anything that special. She really was, like, it seemed like an average type person, but once a lot more people. You know, that's kind of what happened to, I think, with Phil Donahue.
Donahue.
Well. You know, he was big.
Yeah.
But he was big in Ohio, and then he went national, and he was okay. But once other people jumped into the brief, he just kind of got pushed aside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he just disappeared.
He had a good show. I liked
my brain.
That's what you get for marrying Marlo Thomas, you know?
I would say financially they did what they needed to do when they were done, you know.
Less money than the Gates have to play with.
Yeah, true.
That's just a thing of numbers there. It doesn't even matter. I mean, to them. You know,
it matters.
Half of the money in the entire world, you want half? Okay, sure, take it, because I've got the other half. It doesn't matter. You know, I don't know.
It matters, trust me. That's why lawyers make all the money they make.
Yeah, I get my opinion would be, if I was in those circumstances, If it's a half thing and you own half of all the money in the world, darn near, and someone wants to take it. I have enough. He has enough to more than exist for the rest of his days and have no wants. W-A-N-T-S, wants.
Yep.
In my opinion, you know, and that's all, I said that if we had the ability for these wishes things to happen, the first thing that we wish for is things of self, whether it be wealth or health or property or a home or, you know, whatever, things of self. And then only after that do we get altruistic and go, oh, now we can help everyone else.
Mm.
Yes.
If it's a tax write-off, sure.
I think you become a church and then you're done. There you go.
I can see how money can be very much like a drug, though. And mm-hmm. I think people who don't have money don't understand what it takes to manage having that much money. Because if you don't manage it properly, it can be easily lost. Look at how many people win the lottery and are dead broke within like 2-3 years.
Dead broke. Yes.
Well, that's because it's not just because they don't know how to handle it. Just that, you know, they never had wealth before. And then when they get it like that all at once, you know, you're right. Within 10 years, most of those people are back to where they were.
And again, people don't realize the work it takes to get that kind of money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. maybe. You know, I mean, we have some people that don't know when enough money is enough.
And that's where I think it's the addictive quality of money comes in. Because it's like you keep wanting to feed this machine. You know what I'm saying? I can see how it would have that kind of allure. I think most mm-hmm. of us, we want to just have a nice life and have enough things to be comfortable and definitely have toys and robots and things.
Think about this, okay? Okay, with the principal money that Gates has after this divorce, okay?
Mm-hmm.
With the money that he still has, if the money's in a bank and he's earning interest on it, the government will only be taxing the interest paid on it. He will never again be taxed on that whole amount per se. And so he can live on the money that the money makes for the rest of his days without ever having to take, you know, and mess with.
Well, I mean, a lot of his house, home, property. A lot of his money is actually wrapped up in stock, and it's not in actual cash. It's in stock. And if he were to dump all the stock, his stock would become almost worthless. So,
right.
Yeah. So if it were easy to just say, you know what, take my half of a kajillion dollars and go, it would be done already. It ain't easy.
Yeah. See, I had this little thought in my head when I was a little kid that I would love to get to the point where I would have enough money in a savings account to just live off the interest. And I would be, there you go. If I've got a house and a car and everything, already got that, then, you know, being able to live off the interest, there you're done. That's it.
Well, you know, in a sense, that's what Jay Leno did. For all those years he worked at Tonight Show, he never, ever touched that money. He did every Monday night. He was in Vegas. He did a Vegas show. He did other shows. He used the money from there. But his Tonight Show movie, he never used that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he still has
plenty of toys.
Yeah. And that's his little pot of gold.
All those cars.
All those cars are insane, you know.
Oh, some of them are absolutely beautiful. Well, they all are.
Yeah, I've seen some of those. I'm not particularly a fan of the guy because I was a Johnny Carson guy, and when they flipped over and, you know, I will always feel like Letterman should have had it, you know.
Yep.
David Letterman should have, you know. But they scrambled it up, and they did this, and they did that, and they gave it to Jay, and I was like, you know. And Letterman went on to keep his own and do, you know, stuff somewhere else, but, you know, it still worked out.
He did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he didn't start.
The one thing I
But I no longer tuned into the Tonight Show. I have kind of abandoned it, and just personal feeling is it's not Johnny Carson.
When you've been spoiled by the best for so long, if you grew up with that. And we were spoiled by the very best, Gar. I'm with you. Nobody can ever replace Johnny Carson.
But I'll tell you what, Jay Leno could give a monologue. He couldn't interview anybody to save his life, but he could give a great monologue.
Yeah, he did.
I think his seeds were stand-up comedy. I'm guessing.
Right. It was.
So he better be able to do a monologue.
Yeah, true. But not everybody can be a host.
No. I was thinking about it, how interesting it would
look
be.
Look at how hard we're trying.
Yes. I was thinking how interesting it would be to be a host, to be like interviewing people. I think Gar as a host would be kind of funny.
Gar is a host who's kind of funny.
He is.
Well, if I was interviewing people, talking about two shows.
Count them, two. One radio, one TV, two wonderful shows.
What do they call our show? Go ahead.
On our show, we do interviewing when we go places and talking to people and such. And there's some that aren't even related to the shows that we do. And like I've got actually two different interviews come in the upcoming. One is in the lady that owns and runs the Trollhole Museum, but she also has a cat cafe. So we went over next door to her cat cafe and did a short interview over there as well.
I can't remember what it's called. It's called like it's not a sinful pleasure. It's a guilty pleasure. Maybe one of my guilty pleasures is watching reruns of Craig Ferguson. To me, he's the epitome of an interviewer. And I love Johnny. Yeah. Johnny was amazing. But the Craig Ferguson, hands down.
He's Scottish.
Yeah, same thing.
For those who didn't know, Gar is Scottish too. I do have Scott in the background somewhere. In the woods.
Speaking of Scottish, our family is about to grow.
You're pregnant.
Yeah, my wife's been on a waiting list. Sort of. My wife's been on a waiting list for a breeder. We are getting a collie dog. A collie dog.
Yeah. Lassie. Right.
Yeah. That's just it. She wants Lassie. So baby's getting Lassie. That's it for animals. We're getting too old. We already got a bird that's likely to outlive us. But we have a godparent family with a couple generations.
So the first thing that you're going to say to the collie dog when you meet it, and it's only 3 months old, is Timmy down the well or what?
Oh, God. I think I might do that. I don't want to piss off the breeder or confuse her.
Where the hell's Timmy? What have you done with Timmy? Blah, blah. What have you done with Timmy?
And where's June Lockhart?
What have you done with June Lockhart? Is everybody down the well? And if so, is it your fault? We want answers, puppy. You know.
I think that's asking a lot of a three-month-old kid.
That's asking a lot. Yeah.
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 Yeah. You get the bark back. Woof, woof, woof. Who's Timmy?
if we ever get maybe a shot at one more animal, I would love to have a Maine Coon cat or a Norwegian forest cat. They're both gentle giants. And they're very furry. They're long hairs. They're big monstrous cats.
Yes. I wouldn't mind a panther or a coyote.
Yeah, that'll keep the neighbors.
Or a skunk. I would love to have a family of skunks, and then they would.
Or
you can.
Or a boa constrictor. I need a boa constrictor. Yes.
They have descended skunks. They have descended skunks.
Well, no. I want my skunks intact. I want them with the scent.
Oh my
lamp.
God.
Are you
insane?
Yeah.
They could squirt you in a
dude. In my childhood, we had pet skunks in the house, and they lived under the house, and they would come in, and we would give them eggs in the morning, and then they would go out, and they'd come back in, and we'd give them eggs and cheese at night, and
I got to know how you prepared the eggs for the skunks.
Sometimes scrambled, sometimes over easy. Sometimes they wanted them poached. You know, they came in.
Yeah,
they had a card
say,
with them.
Benedict,
you know.
Maybe,
this
or
is,
a little bit of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes.
A little hollandaise sauce on the side.
Little hollandaise, you know, little English muffin. Sure, yeah, you know.
Okay, good. Thanks.
And so I grew up with skunks. And they would come in the house. And they. No. Yes. Okay. For 6 months. No. No. This was growing up. I grew up in a house that had possums, foxes, skunks, squirrels, birds. What? There was something else I'm missing.
Did you have any people?
Raccoons. No people. No, we hated people. No. hence the animals. Having a possum or a skunk or a fox curl up in your lap and go to sleep is just an amazing pleasure. Yeah, it's just crazy. Whereas most people go like, but no, I've seen some pumas and some panthers, and oh my gosh, I would love these animals.
They
are
beautiful
so
animals.
Cool.
They are beautiful animals.
And to have one, there's some place in Russia where some people have like a fully sized 3,000-foot bear, you know, and they feed him, and he comes in the house and he sits down on the, it's like crazy. And also in Russia, there's some folks that have a panther of some type, a very large leopard type cat. And they get along, and the cat loves them, and it doesn't scratch or attack them or anything. You know. However, recently in the news down here, the cops went to go round up this individual because they were doing bad stuff, and the guy had a full grown tiger, and he put it in a van, and they went running around, and then the guy stopped and jumped out of the van and let the tiger out into a neighborhood, and it's like, you know, poor tiger.
He wasn't allowed to have a tiger. Yeah, it wasn't allowed to have.
I think
a
it was in Texas. It was in.
A,
it wasn't in Florida. It was in Texas, yeah, I think.
They weren't allowed to have a tiger in that municipality. So
if I were to get a puma, there's only one type I'd really want.
How many lumps do you want?
Oh, 3 or 4.
Oh dear, I gave you one too many. Well, we can fix that.
Which reminds me that at one point in time, my parents had a woodpecker.
Don't get me started on woodpeckers. These lousy so-and-sos do two things in our area. Number one, there's this metal band that goes around our chimney.
Idiots.
Ding, 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 ding,
yeah.
Ding.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that. I told you last year I put up a bat box to attract bats.
Oh,
the
and
pecker,
they ate it?
The peckers poked a hole in the side and took it over and made a woodpecker house out of it. They actually pecked a hole, a bird-sized hole, in the side of the bat box, my beautiful bat box. What are you going to do?
I'm amazed at science on that, because a woodpecker's head is made to create this. It can stand these amazing pressures. As this thing jackhammers its head through, you know, wood. It's just amazing, the engineering of it. But One day I came home and my mom said, well, hey, check out what's over here in the nook. And I went over there and it was a cage and it was a bird. And I was like, oh my gosh. I said, what is this? And she said, it's a woodpecker. He's hurt and we're going to fix it. And I said, okay. And he said, go ahead and put your hand in the cage. And I said, okay. I put my hand in the cage. But woodpecker goes on my hand. I'm like, that's amazing. But I'm not going to do that too much. It didn't feel right. But
I didn't win.
You know, I was like, hi, how are you? You know, it was. At least it's not as bad as my helicopter. Hi, people. How you doing? We'll be right over there. Yeah. Need to get a new job.
Hey, that's the last thing Vic Morrow heard.
Woohoo! We're flying over to the city right now. We don't know yet. Yeah, that sounds worse. That sounds worse.
Okay.
It does.
It just didn't sound like a helicopter.
Although I have to go back in the archives and listen to, we're flying over the city now. It seems like traffic. Isn't that bad on the east side? The pain. Oh, I had a suggestion. I don't know if I posted it or not. I had a suggestion, and the suggestion was this. They go ahead and they let Smith be this evil guy for 3 episodes. They kill him, and then next episode they bring on a new evil guy, and it works. I think it'll happen. And then there was the day I met the woodpecker. It was an amazing animal.
God. Why did I go there?
I don't know.
Isn't that coffee wearing down yet?
I am down to my last gulps of my 3rd cup of coffee, so we're doing great.
Yeah, well, you're going to be up peeing all night.
Yeah. Coffee. Nope, I'm like a camel.
Like a freaking camel over here.
One
hump or two?
7.
The pain.
Yeah, really, yeah.
I'm not going anywhere until Thursday, so I don't know.
We should probably wrap this up.
Yeah,
we're
okay.
Running out of
it's
time.
It's been fun,
anyway.
Guys. Yeah,
it's been real.
You can tell because
too bad it hasn't been real.
But it's not been. Oh, yeah. Dave, are you hearing bells again?
Oy.
Oh no. Hey, good night, John Boy.
A little different ending this week, I think. Yeah. We'll see you next time, folks.
Oh, no.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Same channel, same station.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Bye, Debbie.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
Bye, Debbie.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
No, Debbie.
Bloop, bloop.
Debbie, you went number 2 in the chair again. Debbie.
Bloop,
I mean,
bloop, bloop, bloop. Bloop, 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 bloop. Blue, blue, blue. Blue, blue, blue.
No more chariot rides for you, young monkey.
Blue, blue.
Thing.
Blue,
monkey
blue,
thing.
Blue, blue.
Your ears are long now. We'll see you next time, folks.
Blue.
Bye.
Blue, blue.